November 2012. It was in back for the maintenance. 6 point something, I think. Ben, how are you? Try not to throw it on the floor.
Depends on what you say.
I shouldn't eat something crunchy next to that, should I?
Yeah, excellent. For both of us.
There's some. You can stretch up.
I'm going to bring a hammer next time. No, I used it actually. I did. I listened to that discussion we had about transport.
He's always playing in his office.
I just love this committee. I just listened to the...
Greatest hits.
I'm cutting up elk and listening to the past O&M meetings all week long. No transport at McNary.
Did Ann get the avian wires dead at McNary? Did she get that yet?
Really? He was talking about that on the way here.
Now that you mention it.
I like their whole lifestyle.
I knew that one. I thought that was...
You think I'm going to drop that one?
Start the day in.
Nine. And then there's just this. Wires.
It's 4:30, Jen.
Look at the flow difference here. 2010% average daily power output.
And in the month of
when they did survival testing. Okay. 25 power household session. 2011, it was 79.
Huge.
211% increase. 18% increase. Because we're pretty much.
All right, guys, I'm still waiting to get the technical assistance for the other phone, but this is my BlackBerry. On the phone is Tom.
Proportion.
23% versus. And Russ still, correct?
3%.
Okay, I'm going to put this thing kind of close to the people as I can. Bear with us. Sorry, guys. So let's go ahead and start with the introductions. Who's in the room here? Burn.
Ann Schneider.
John Daly.
Dan Stevenson.
Bob Cordy.
Eric Rovner.
Trevor Condor, Noah.
Gary Fredericks, Noah.
Christine Peterson, BPA.
Agnes Lute, VPA.
Paul Keller, right here, this project.
Ben Hausman, Bonneville.
Doug Bowscourt.
Scott Benton, VPA.
David Wells, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service.
Karen Mackey, Burns Assistant.
And we got Rick back there, Rick Martinson. And on the phone, we have Russ Kiefer from Idaho, Dave Benner from the Fish Passage Center, and Tom Lors from CritFit. Anybody else on the phone? Okay, so let's, any agenda items to add? I know you have one. Okay, as far as the agenda goes. We put under updates, which is fish dredging. Fish unit dredging.
Habitat for you.
This is Bonneville.
Yeah. No, we're on the side. Somebody just joined FO.
Oh, this is top one.
Bill.
Hi.
Glad you could call in. So I've got a BlackBerry I'm using right now, and we're working on the conference line, so bear with us.
Hi. So we had two FPP change forms that we're just going to notify people that weren't on the agenda, but I think that's the only addition we had.
Any other agenda items to add? This is the number, by the way.
Nathan,
I'm joining
the conference.
Hey, Nathan.
Yeah, you already told us that.
We're just getting started, so.
Nathan, you're missing your oatmeal cookies.
Yes, a very good opening for you here, by the way.
Fax one here. Thanks,
yeah.
Oops.
So, anything to add to the minutes from last meeting? Going once, going twice.
I got a bunch of edits.
Let's get right into action items with Walla Walla.
Okay, first item hasn't taken place yet, so that we really don't have an update at this point in time. We're working with the project as to when they're going to complete some of that testing. Kind of just, so kick that one out till next month, probably. That's it. This one's you.
That's one's Portland, and Miro is not here, so I don't know the update.
I do have a status update on that.
Fishway Velocities. Which Schlinker?
Yeah, Schlinker. He didn't have time to work on these right now, but he'll bring them back for the December meeting.
Oh, before we go on, I remember there's a kick out from Fitterwig that we said we're going to bring Mark Plummer here, and he's going to come to the December meeting rather than this. This was about the adult salvage at Ice Harbor that he brought up at our last Fitterwig. I don't know if you recall.
Right.
That.
He was yep. kind of wanting Absolutely.
To build a new facility. So we'll have some discussions with him at a later time.
Steve Bass.
Reality.
Daniil.
Reality versus need wants. But yeah.
Yeah, because
we'll have that discussion.
We've been down that
still
road.
Doing historically what we did at a lot of the other facilities, and so.
Chase them up and down, so tire them out enough that you can
you
grab
know,
all
I think
throw them over there for a bit.
My take on that is that, yeah, he would always like to upgrade his facility just to be more than it is, more like everybody else, but at this point in time, that's probably not where we're going, but we do want to talk about the process and see if there's any improvements that we could make.
Well, okay, that discussion, what we were talking about, I mean, there, what it is, a salvage of steelhead in the collection channel, and what he was concerned about was that they're still actually netting fish, which is something we've said not to do. So there's two things to talk about. One is how could we avoid having to handle this fish at all, which, you know, we've looked at that in the past with the Daniil and or a sea pass to get fish out of that area. The other thing is just to have them use a sanctuary net of some sort, you know, a sling or whatever, when they need to net them and get them out of there. So I think that's it's the handling part, you know. We're not going to be able to build anything new there. So.
Right. So we might be able to take what we learned at Dorshak.
Right. That's where that conversation went.
There
right.
into what mm-hmm. they do
that's what I was hoping to hear. Yeah. Okay.
So. Anyway,
December?
Yeah, he
okay.
wasn't able to make it. He called last week and asked if he could push it out till December.
Okay, okay.
This was attached to this.
Yeah,
it's
so this on now?
X.
No, it's not.
So I think we're going to move in now.
Sorry.
Will that December activity conflict with the Arctic trip?
It does.
Our new location.
It's going to be in Erdick. that Thursday, we will be in, a lot of folks will be in Mississippi looking at Bonneville Spillway and the Bonneville Turbine Use.
Mississippi. Mm-hmm.
So I guess
so come on down.
What all we have for December and whether we still need a meeting.
So we usually do second, which is. Kind
of
tight after that, about the holiday.
Yeah.
You guys are leaving on what day? 10th.
And yeah, it's a week trip.
What's going on that first week of December?
I haven't gotten that to say.
Yeah, it's on your calendar as December 20th. Rather than 13, interestingly enough.
SCT is the 20th.
First meeting, will I read? What about the Friday of Mary?
Well, they got SCT on the 27th, and maybe they're a week off on the calendar that I screwed up. Interesting. Everything is a week off.
No, it's not.
Oh, okay. Okay, so I'm reading it.
It's canceled. SCT is canceled on the 20th?
No, but I guess, yeah. Why don't we see where we're at the end of this meeting in terms of any immediate needs, and maybe we don't need to have a meeting in December. That's what I would go is just have a call. Yeah.
Don't we have a fish passage plan kind of easy preliminary to use in that?
So anyway, let's maybe at the end of the meeting see if there's anything that's really pressing. Because what's the story on a room? I guess, Tammy, that's kind of been something you've been investigating. Is there any updates on the future and where to have these meetings? I'm not saying it's only your responsibility. You've kind of been a lead. I just was inquiring.
Well,
not being for us, but for Noah Fisheries.
Well, you guys, I mean, they have a lot of security issues out there.
It's not that big. We can work around that once we know that it didn't exist.
There's three of you guys, so five badges.
No, there's not three. I'm not one of them. I'm not going to ferry people back and forth.
Bill says the book is still up.
Yeah, I mean, we're trying to figure out a doorbell system or some way. We're trying to figure out a worker.
But you can't attend a meeting if you're running up and down the stairs.
I'm just going to prop the doors open.
Yeah, I would do that, too.
So what about Critfic Basement? Is that something that is a good fallback?
Yeah, if it's available.
Well, I would say go ahead and pencil it in the second Thursday of January.
Doesn't sound like you're at
the dentist, Tom.
He's just sharing it with the waiting room.
Okay. So on the 20th is the...
I know,
you
just said
he was dancing, so you can still use the 20th to make a conference call.
Okay.
Updates with Portland's updates. First one is 311 John Day Trash Break Crane. Zero here yet?
Oh, I'm here.
He's not coming.
Oh, you're here.
I spoke with the mechanical foreman yesterday. They said they're about 80% complete with the completion of the project, so should be back online and in service by next week.
Okay, so the trash rank should be back online by next week. About Spillway 9 Trunnion Pinned the Dows. That's the boss. Trunnion Pin update.
Oh, Trunnion Pin?
Backed afterwards. I want to go out and show you guys next time. We're looking at Trunnion Pin so you can see what we're talking about.
Back in the truck?
Yeah. Well, actually, what has to be constructed in Woodland.
Yeah, so you just need the latest on it. The latest is it's on a large cap list. The entire spillway is on a large cap list, and it's groups of spill bays. And so we made sure that the group of spill bays that needs to be done is the one with 9 in it to be the first done. But we're talking years out, like 2018.
2018?
That's the way it is on the large cap list right now.
So we need to identify other funds.
That's not acceptable.
But now there's a second part to that. Now I asked Brad and Fenton to look into some JSAT information just to find out how bad things really are or how bad things really were when this last season when we were spilling outside of the wall and we had a big massive bid without 9 running. And they said we can do that, but it's not in the scope for this year. They would have to write up a one-pager to be able to analyze that data for next year. And its chances are, well, that there might not be enough data for it because there's only like 6 days that was spilled during the summer portion of the testing. There's only 6 days that was spilled outside of the wall.
Right. So, yeah, that's not the time of year you normally would do that.
So that's
that's not
worth
tell
a
you
shot, but we'll see, I guess.
How much more money do they want to do that?
To do that analysis? I don't know.
It doesn't sound like it's worth it. We're not going to get anything.
Don't think I would believe it anyway, so it's too short a duration to say tell us much.
There's another part to it because all the JSAT stuff was there during the spring, and I'm not sure if they collected that data or what. So it was there, and if they collected it, there might be some spring data too.
So, Gary, what would it take for you to believe?
If we had a season's worth of operation, but just a few days, things are variable. That doesn't really tell you. That's not enough for me to say, oh, it's no problem. Let's just wait another 5 years or whatever to do it.
If they were able to pull, so the 6 days that we were talking about that they had in the summer, but if they were to pull more out during the spring, would that possibly be an option to have 1 year's worth of information?
We need to fix it.
Right. So what I can do is continue to put it on the unfunded request list and push it from my side. So the only thing I can do is maybe identify money and get some money going to HTC or whoever has to do that fabrication.
So Bert, what year do you think you might have it? Whenever. I was thinking the study may not be done for a year. At the same time, you're going to do the work anyway. Don't put the money in time.
It's got to get done regardless of what's going to
It would be nice to know how much worse off are we with Bay 9L. I mean, we had a big hole there anyway. And Eddie, it's a bad Eddie. So is it a lot worse with Bay 9L? Because, it's 9, 10, 11 are out now. It's 10, 11 before. So was that acceptable before?
If you find it's not a problem, then you just don't do the work it falls to the bottom of the list.
Say it again.
If you do the study and it shows it's not a problem, then it just falls to the bottom of the list and doesn't get done at all.
That's
kind of on the bottom.
That's all going to
be. Wait, it is.
So, Bob, what is the risk of being failing with the gate down to the original bill, or is it something that.
As long as the gate doesn't move, it's fine.
Okay, so it isn't one where the worry pops
is
off the wall.
The worry is, from what I understand, is the basic failure that they had at Folsom 2. If it seizes up, then you start to move that gate, and that little bend the arms, and the whole thing can fail. That one's the riskiest one.
I just remember that dam in California, they had a pin failure.
Folsom.
And they ended up draining down to crest elevation. So.
Yeah.
Folsom, that's a little different.
Yeah. but now, I should go back to this large cap list. So the entire spillway is on the large cap list. And essentially, the entire spillway is under design and has some serious problems. Apparently, they didn't design wave loads. They didn't design wind loads. They didn't design a bunch of things when they originally built the spillway. So this is not just a Dallas thing. It's all over. So that is why it's on a large cap list to completely go through these spill gates. Maybe, by the time they're done, they might say that you need entirely new spill gates to make them adequate.
Okay, well, that's not
helping
us much.
That's why when they had these blocks of gates that they wanted to do, and they had spill gate 9 for 2022, I think it was, and I was like, well, take that block and move it as your first ones you're going to do, and then you get that 10 taken care of earlier, and that advice a few years in.
Everything about that eddy and what gets in there will depend upon how many bays are running and how open those bays are. But if you have, and where fish are moving at that time, because the focus of fish is still going to be on the other side of the wall, but
yeah.
As more fish, it's going to be very, I think, variable. But still, if you have an eddy like you have there, and there are fish passing on the south side of the wall, they're going to get in there? I mean, how, you know, just how do you avoid that? Yeah. I don't need to have a whole bunch of tracking data to tell me that these guys are fishing. So, and that is not a place we want to have fish going around and around and around in that eddy in there, either from an injury standpoint or potentially a predator standpoint. So I guess what needs to happen is this needs to get elevated. I mean, I don't want to have to write an RPA in the next biopsy and fix the smell.
So how about how about this rather than say 9? What about 10 and 11 being repaired in lieu of 9?
And that might be a better thing to go.
What it would take to fix one of them.
Right. Yeah, maybe 9's the wrong way to go because of all the work that needs to be done. If it's just wire ropes. But I mean, if you're into a situation where you've got to do a whole bunch of engineering analysis and you find out that the bays are underbuilt and they don't meet the requirements of whatever, and we have to tear them all out, start over again. I mean, we're talking way out there. I mean, that shouldn't stop us from fixing what we have now so that it's operational. So that would be my message back. But if we need to elevate this, I think this is one of those that needs to be elevated beyond O&M to division. I don't know, Viog, whatever. I mean, you know how that's going to work. But I'll bring it up with Richie, and we'll move it that way and get it into a higher level and say, hey, this is important. We're doing our performance standards. We did them under conditions of one condition, and now we're starting to get into something that's a little different.
So does everybody agree that...
And we're so close to missing those standards. I mean, we're right on the edge of Dalles. Unless McNary pulls us out with wonderful numbers, averaging isn't even going to be a good option.
I don't have a plan that hasn't shared that information yet.
Yeah, I haven't seen it either.
You guys have no alternative for an altered spill pattern that would allow you to keep it away from the eddy further or allow, you know? I know there's a lot of reason why you moved the wall. I just had to ask that.
No, I mean, we've explored all that. I mean, the problem is just about every spill bay on this side of the wall has got a problem of one sort or another. Some are, and the ones that are closest to the wall are the ones that you want to be able to operate because of the tail race conditions. We're trying to get fish down that side of the river, not this side of the river.
Right.
So the further you come this way with spill gates, the worse it is for those fish to egress. Now you have a big eddy as well. So now you have not only an egress problem downstream, but a near field eddy.
So it's the fish that are coming from like the sluiceway and the powerhouse that are getting in the bank because you're on the
spillway.
South side of the wall?
Spillway. It's a spillway.
It's a spillway fish?
Yeah. Okay, so that's what I'm saying is most of those fish are still going to go through the first state base, but because they're open a huge amount.
Right.
But
you have an eddy there that's pulling at least bay 8 and maybe a little of 7.
It won't, do any of that because the wall's there, and I think everything that passes north of the wall is going to be fine. It's not going to get pulled back up in there. But the issue is those fish that pass south of the wall when we have to open those gates up. And we can't open 9, so we got to open other gates clear down the other end.
Right.
Now those fish not only have a worse condition getting out, irregardless of the eddy, but they also have that eddy to contend with, and a few of those fish, a portion, who knows what, is going to get sucked into that eddy
Sucked into that eddy. Mostly bay 12.
Yeah, I mean, we can look at that. Hydraulics would tell you what that was. I mean, we could look at hydraulics. The fish are going to be going with the flow, so... if we could look at the model and kind of get an idea of what the percentage might be in there. But I think the key is that we just don't want that happening. I mean, we just don't, that's a bad situation to have. We need to fix these things. You know, when things like that break, we can't, when did we have wire rope problems first? I mean, what year was that? I've lost track.
2006.
I mean, I'm not, you know, I think that was before my career started. So, you know, I mean, it's old and dirty.
So everybody agrees that.
Fill up the nails.
Everybody agrees that 10 or 11 would be a good replacement.
That's something to look into because at least, and what I would do is that should be modeled. You got a model sitting down in Vicksburg. That's what we should be looking at to make that kind of a call.
Hey, Gary, what would it take to do a model test of a failed gate if 9 fails? What spill pattern do we use then?
If 9 fails? I mean, actually breaks?
If it pulls a Folsom and decides to leave it. And you have a full wide open gate.
Cool.
That would be fun to do.
This is on 9? Yeah, that would be...
That's the thing that
You'd probably topple the wall. I mean, that would be a disaster.
Well,
It helps better understand the risks.
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
The thing that we're most worried about is complete failure of dying.
No, you don't want to. You don't want to do that.
Oh, that'd be a nightmare.
You don't want to do that. So that's not going
to. You don't want to do it, but you need to be able to say what the risk is if you do lose it. And
well, I'll let these guys tell us what that
it
is.
I mean, that's justify the money. Because I think a little bit of where.
That's up to you guys. That's the Corps of Engineers. I mean, that's going to be a structural issue. You probably undercut the wall, and you could topple it right into the.
Well, there's that.
And if it fails, you can't bolt it off.
What's the impact to the list? You have to close it. That's what you're stuck with. The acid drop. You know, the 90% of the fish go through there and there.
30% mortality rate.
Okay.
Well, he has it ever been wired up?
That's what he's looking for.
Well, I'm looking for something so we can give to the policymakers. This is why not to be higher on this list.
It needs to be higher, not so much from a failure standpoint, but from a day-in, day-out operational standpoint. When we have high flows, which we've had for 2 years, and who knows what the next is going to be.
They could fail the next time we open it.
Yeah.
That's why they're not. They could fail the next time you open it.
I know, but I'm not going down that route. I'm saying fix it. In the meantime, let's come up with an operation that doesn't require potentially failing it. But failing it shouldn't be the issue. We shouldn't fail it, but we don't want to be running the way we are year in, year out through the life of the biop. At the Dalles. That's just, you know.
I agree. We have both issues. We can limp along like we're doing, and then if the next time we open it, it fails, they need to know what that.
That's more of a life of the project. That's more of a core response, I think,
sure.
In that, because I think then if you.
They won't open that.
Yeah, I don't think you will.
Yes.
But if you did, well, then that means we're over top in the river and everybody's running for high.
So we have a couple things here. One is I can keep pushing from my side to get that pen installed. You guys can help by talking to Richie. You can have get some updates on 11 and 12.
Yeah.
Well,
and 10. What's up with 10?
I don't remember what. I don't remember what's a failure.
I just heard a lot of stuff fly in the air here, and I'm not sure what. I mean, I'd like to know what we're talking about at this point, because there's a trunnion pin, there's wire ropes.
Yeah.
Now there's a bunch of other stuff that
there's
I just heard.
Pin arms, and then there's undercutting on the stays way down. Here.
Okay, but there's also ratings. So there's also are the gates, you know, even if you have everything fixed,
right.
Are you telling me you wouldn't use them anyway because they're underrated?
Well, no, this rating thing, I mean, those are on all the gates that we're running right now.
I know. But does that mean that, you know, you're only going to run certain ones, or that, what does that mean? I don't know what that means. That sounds ominous to me. It sounds like, oh, God, you know, this whole thing's going
down. Unfortunately, the proof in the pudding is we've had high waves and wind for 50 years.
I know.
Yeah.
I know,
we're
but,
pretty good.
You know, but
yeah.
Core sometimes goes down that track. It's a safety issue. We're not going to do it.
I know.
What I don't want to hear is we spend a bunch of money on it, get this thing all fixed up, and they're saying, well, we can't use it anyway because of this.
It's every gate has the same issue.
So we need to identify where we're at for the next step. Gates 9 through 22? Is that how many we have?
23.
Mm-hmm.
23.
Mm-hmm.
What's the status of each gate?
Yeah, we have it.
What's the condition? What's the...
In fact, it should be on a pump site.
It is on
a pump site.
I guess what I'd like to see is the cost.
Erosion issues?
Or just on one of them, the Bay 23, I think it is.
Okay, we're not worried about that. Cost of 9, the cost of getting 10 and 11 going. We need to know what that is. I mean, what needs to be done? I'm trying to know that. I just don't know what the costs are.
Right.
Now, I mean, I'm sure we've heard them in here. I just don't remember what they are. But if we can get an idea of what that is, because that would be the first question from anybody at a decision maker's level. What
so
are we talking about?
Bucks for 9, man.
What's that?
Yeah.
$1 million to get 9 back up.
And that's just the installation. We have a pin and everything to put in.
We'll kill the adult study this year. We'll have plenty of money.
There you go.
There it is right there. No problem.
I wish we could move money like that.
Just can't you guys take money from one hand and put it in the other?
Those good old days before I showed up.
Well, I think that's...
Terry Johnson 10 years ago, yes.
Yeah, he did. Well, I know O&M's funding is an issue, but the first thing you have to do is understand what you're dealing with. I mean, what's the cost? What are the options?
It might come in a little cheaper, but we still run
into
the issue of joint money. There's just never enough joint money to take care of the issues. Spillway issues.
I don't know even what that means. So
that's just the pot of money that addresses anything on the spillway. Mm-hmm. It's not power related. It's not fish related. It's the pot of money that goes towards any spill, anything on the spillway is joint, and our joint budget is inadequate.
To me, this rises to a level of not meeting the buyout requirements. So, you know, that's what I would take back. We're not, you know, the action agencies, you're going to fail here, potentially. So what are you going to do to deal with that? That's the operation was, we developed together an operation that includes Bay 9 and 10 and 11. That's the sequence. Now you can't do it, and you're saying you can't do it for who knows how long. 2018 could be later. I don't think that's an acceptable situation under the commission.
So if we come back next meeting, leave it on the agenda, and we'll give you an update.
I know what the update will be. I mean, I hear that. That's
we need to spend some more time working on it.
Yeah, I mean, updates, I just don't want to hear, same thing, because that's what we've been hearing for years.
Let's retreat and work on it.
Okay. But at the same time, I think I'm going to try to start getting something going at a different level. I know you guys are stuck. I'm not bitching at you. I'm just saying that I can't let it just sit. I just can't let it. Okay, whatever. That just is.
Help me. Lift me up.
Oh, my God. I can see you now on a little white pillow with your legs crossed.
Levitating.
Somebody's seeing my All right, well, that was a handy little update. Thank you. Let's go to the Dalles Ocean Trash placement out front here.
Yeah, that
you see
was
it's nice and smooth, and they're painting.
Right. So they installed the pavement. We did the blocking, and then when the contractors were there, and they tried it, and they're like, no, it's not going to work. So we had to shut her down for about 2 hours. So
that's fine.
At least it wasn't full 4 hours for a shutdown.
Yeah. No, that's good.
The way to do it. So.
Okay.
Done.
T1 outage.
Did they hear that?
Oh, that one had an extension to November 19th. Mm-hmm. That was like another 10 days, I think it was, or 11 days from the original request. And they just ran into some issues with the transformer oil, and they had to recycle it or whatever. I forget they had to do. But
what runs off T1?
Units 1 and 2.
Just 1 and 2. Okay.
Yeah.
So instead of returning to service today, it won't return to service till the 19th?
The 19th was the last I got.
You got the sluice gates open accordingly, I assume.
Yeah, we got the sluice gates open on 3. And then that's our priority unit.
Yeah.
3 and 4 are priority units.
Okay, how about the 315 zinc testing update? There's an attachment on the agenda.
Oh, yeah. So,
report back from the lab.
Yeah, so this is to reiterate what we went through before. Every time we put in a section of new grading in the East Fishway, that is galvanized, and we go back through and do water samples during the season when it's running. And we did last season, we put in the junction pool on the east entrance, all new grading, and then we did the test on it, and it came back great. Everything was the highest we had was about half of the 0.026 threshold that we put as a limit.
I was trying to remember what our limit was. Okay.
Was that new grading as far as not seasoned here in the boneyard grading, off-the-shelf grading?
That was quote seasoned.
Sitting on a deck down there, wasn't it, for a while?
Yeah.
So we have more boneyard before we get new
stuff? Yeah, we have two more sections to do. It's the west entrance, west powerhouse entrance, and the south entrance. And we'll do that this winter. And we'll do one more round of sampling. And
do we need the sampling anymore? That's one question. If we've done it enough times now where we're getting nothing for our money.
It's cheap.
I think it's a good thing to do.
Yeah, the sampling's cheap.
I mean, you're putting the toxin in the ladder. This just assures us that we're not exceeding our standards. I think that's...
We have the discussion on we don't have money to do pins, and it's the same pile of money.
I think it's trivial compared to the pin.
Yeah. It is. So
a lot of these would be saved, and you'd still wouldn't have.
Yeah, I would say it's worth it because it's.
No, I appreciate it. Now you're done. You know, there's no question.
What percent of the fishway then will have ionized?
After this winter, it'll be all of it.
Okay.
All the grading.
So 100% of the fishway and still under the threshold.
But it's been sitting in the boneyard for how many years?
No, this last set hasn't been sitting as long.
Just straight up.
East fishway. The north was done like back in 01.
It's when the east stuff's still on 1 inch grade.
And it's all 1 inch, yeah, unfortunately.
I appreciate you doing this, Bob.
Okay, let's move over to 316 Bonneville Spillway 15 Hoist. Mr. Houseman?
It's as far as it can go right now until the spillway contractor gets out of there and allows us to open it. Test position.
Basically. Doesn't want you to open it while he's down there?
No.
Problem with that?
No, it's good to go as far as we know, but they're not until they can open it and make sure that.
Do the test on it.
10 feet. Yeah. But they will want to. I mean, they'll organize it with coordinate it, but they're going to want to open it, I believe, up to 10 feet open when it comes time, just to make sure it's proper.
Just water.
It'll be short, but, you know, relatively. Scott.
About the spillway repair update, rock removal.
Rocks are removed. They should pour concrete starting Monday. In front of 12, and that'll be their sort of test.
Welcome to AT&T's teleconference service. Please enter your access code, followed by the pound sign.
What's the cure time on the concrete?
I don't know. I didn't get that answered.
Nice to know.
Yeah, I know.
Join the conference. How was as a host, test press star. Otherwise, at the tone, please speak your name. There are 7 participants on the call, including you. You are joining your conference as a participant. For a menu of available commands, press star pound. Press join the conference.
All right. Yes. Okay, we've got the conference on.
Conference.
So we're left the conference. Okay. Thank you. All right, so we've got the regular conference phone now hooked up, so you should be able to hear things a little bit better. The furnace came on, so when the phone works, so if it goes off and we get disconnected, it's connected to the furnace.
Spaghetti.
Yeah, okay, nice. So I guess Tom Morris, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can.
Gotcha. Expect some special holiday cocktail out of you this coming month.
I can hear the rest of the meeting. Maybe I'll do it for you. The crust I just heard today was National Stout Day.
Stout Day.
Sounds good.
Okay, I'm still playing around with this thing, so we'll get it all squared away here in just a minute.
Crash.
All right.
Okay. Can we just go over that again after all the... I want to make sure I understand where they're at.
The concrete spillway?
Yeah, the spillway.
Okay, so we're talking about the Bonneville Spillway erosion repair, rock removal.
So the rocks are removed.
The rocks are out.
The rocks, right?
Yeah.
They're gone. They're going to start with May 12th, repair the erosion holes in 12. That's going to kind of give them some idea of how it goes, pace, and that will... give us a better idea on when the whole thing will be completed, which they don't know right now.
Okay.
I think they tentatively scheduled out through winter maintenance, technically.
Yeah, at one point I thought I heard you say they already had concrete poured.
Nope.
Because Scott was saying something about when is it going to be cured.
Monday.
So
they'll pour Monday. Monday is when they'll
be a while.
And then, you know, they've got the funding to do all the holes, but at the moment not the undercut.
which right. they hope to still get
yeah.
somehow.
Okay.
That's sitting with JOC, apparently, that has to vote on it or do whatever they do.
Okay.
So that money might come through, which would be nice.
Otherwise, we could be stuck with a...
Otherwise, I guess they'll repair the erosion hole yeah. and leave the undercut.
That's good. Yeah. That's probably not so much a fish issue as it is a yeah. spillway safety right. issue, whether it goes crunch or not.
Base 12, 9.
Then it'll be a fish issue.
Yeah. 14, I believe. I don't have that off the top of my head. There's three bays.
Yeah. So 12, 9, and 14, I think.
So.
No, 9. I know 9 for sure.
But the undercut is in
the yeah, it's under the apron itself. So
yeah, it's and it's on the north end.
But it's
yeah.
like under.
Yes. Yep.
Okay. Anything else on that?
I don't think so.
The next one is 11.
Barnaby, you know 11 status. Have it back next week?
Yeah, no. That's, they're having a third party contractor come in.
2014? 2018?
2018. Before the contractor gets
let's say 2018.
And that'll be with our new design, with our fish-friendly fancy.
You can bundle it with the trunnion gun. I don't know. I mean, they're going to have this third-party contractor come in with some sort of guidance. I believe, actually, these guys are comprised of former HDC employees, generally. But they're supposed to have look at it, you know, from a outside objective perspective, and I think that means from what they're saying that we probably won't put a wrench to it until right. December.
Right. So that's the unstack. So we're talking a year from December then, or anytime when you put the first wrench to it is about a year or so.
Probably.
We're just going to be without it for a long time. That's another serious issue, really.
Are we have to look at the outside of the generator limits at Vicksburg.
Yes. Outside generator limits. No, we can. Let's talk with Jim Keel. I sent him an email about that. I did not get a response. And something happened with our email exchange, so I need to work with Jim to figure out what... Apparently I sent him a message and he only got half of it. I just haven't had the chance to talk to him. But
that may accelerate when 11 gets fixed.
If they can run outside of generator limit with the...
Well, what you need is a new generator limit.
Absolutely, right.
So
it needs to be about twice the size of the one that's in there.
So if we can show that it's better to run at the higher levels,
right.
you can be able to say you can actually get a little power benefit and a fish benefit.
We need to look to see if we can go above the 1%, which is now at generator limit, right.
Correct.
And that question, I haven't got an answer to it yet. The few people I've talked to, which weren't Jim, we're kind of like, are you crazy? You can't do that. So I don't know.
Okay.
But I don't see why we couldn't at least look at it in the model.
That's the question.
I haven't talked to Davidson about that either. So that's either he can or he can. If he can, we can do it while we're down there. I'm sure. That shouldn't be a problem.
Who's going on the model chart? It's TSP.
This is for Bonneville Spillway. This is probably the primary thing to look at, spillway debris. That's the number one thing. And then the second thing is to look at unit operation of Powerhouse 2. And I know Tom's talking about going, Dave's talking about going, or one, I mean, at 2 and 1, mostly 2. One is, yeah, we need to talk to Davidson about that too. I think, I don't know who else is going. Trevor, myself, Ed Meyer. Russ?
Russ, are you going to that model trip in December to Vicksburg?
I am not planning to do so.
Well, I know there were quite a few people. In
Probably Lori.
Tom,
Lori.
You going?
Oh, yeah.
Not planned.
Yep. Oh, Kruger. Rick Kruger was going to go, too. So, yeah, then Agnes. Big group.
John Versage,
maybe. Versage, yeah.
Okay, E-Branch update?
E-Branch, your contractor's going to drill out the sheared off pins that are embedded in the concrete that actually hold the valve. And then we're going to
put the new ones in there, epoxy them in. The gate's been removed, it's been blasted, fixed. It has to be HSS inspected because they did enough, you know, modification to it. But that's, you know, that's fairly fast. But the contractor's not there yet to drill those out.
So they haven't started?
No.
Okay.
Once it's in our hands to put them in, it will be pretty quick, really. But we have to wait.
Epoxy them in.
Yeah. I don't know why they exactly went with the contractor. I think we probably could have done that, but that's
the real bit.
Yeah, I mean, really. So, in the meantime, you've seen B branch. I mean, it's dry. A branch functions, sort of. We did change that to where it's not reliant on the 4-bay. So we programmed.
You got that done? That we programmed 3-7s.
To work. Yep.
Okay.
And
good.
Holds it exactly
good.
The same as keeping the 4-bay there. So.
What are your the ladder still at about 0.6 and
1.2? 1.2 down
okay.
Below.
Thank you for doing that.
Sure.
Helps us shape the jump.
And for what it's worth, now it's like we've got regular salmon mode, shad mode, and just another switch that's basically one branch mode. So
good. Great. It'll
be easier next
time. Yeah.
There's one.
Do you have an anticipated?
Well, you mean for a B branch to come back? Yeah. The earliest I heard is mid-December, so we're still a little bit off of what we had hoped. But I'm not seeing any progress on it either, so we're coming into holiday time, and that makes things worse.
Yeah, it'd be good to have it back. We have Cascade Island running, though, isn't it?
Yep.
Or will be.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. Switches today.
Okay, how about tribal fishing platform removal?
Removed.
At?
Just, well, Bradford and Washington Shore, but just up to, actually, all of them are supposed to come off of Bradford because of its history of environmental issues around the island, so they don't want any of them there. The ones on Washington Shore just got removed back to the debris boom.
Right.
So that was only right. Three, I believe.
Yeah. Two or three, yeah.
But they're the...
So the Bradford ones, is this a long-term thing, or is this just for the winter?
As far as
removal.
The removal should be for good. They don't want them back there at all. I mean,
so...
we don't want any of them there, truthfully, but
so
it was a
matter of... Did they give you authorization to use the chainsaw if they come back?
Yeah, that's what we did this time. I imagine it'll happen again.
We have to go through CRITFI, and it took a year to get it, and it's a crazy process.
Yeah.
We did get agreement from Yakima and CRITFI and everyone else that that's the right thing to do before
okay.
We proceeded.
Okay.
You know, at least in the last conversation, they were in support of them not being on Bradford at all.
So if somebody shows up next year,
I'm sure they'll build it, and then we'll ask them to take it down again, and we'll do the same.
Go through the same process of okay.
And then finally get to the point where we'll have to do it
in December
after
the season,
after
the fish season.
Time for CRITFI to respond. Yeah,
after the season, yeah, or put a wall in.
How close do they get to the entrance?
150 feet, right up to the boom. Actually, the one on Washington Shore was in the boom, so that was really problematic.
Yeah, it was using the boom as a support.
Ladder.
It's this handy thing doing here. Oh, okay.
Nice. But what you're saying is there's nothing substantively that's been done in light of this year's events that would preclude it from reoccurring next year?
Yeah, nope. That's
okay.
What it sounds like. So we're just in a do-loop.
Besides the fact that, you know, they had their stuff torn down, destroyed.
Well, I mean, the other side of it was that you weren't told leave them alone.
No, true.
So, you know, they know they're going to get taken out again.
We had support. It was just a slow process from
right.
Their leadership down to the actual tribal fishers to get that word out.
But the project, we moved them.
We did.
So, okay. Okay. That's kind of a dangerous thing in itself.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, here's the drop dead date. There's plenty of time, and now the wood is to be donated if they don't pick it up.
Yep, store it for 30 days. It's all bundled up. If they come get it, they get it, and if not, it gets given away.
Well, that'll be interesting. Let's see if
Gary, don't get any ideas.
No, I was just thinking if it doesn't, if it gets picked up again, then I bet it's going to be put back up again next year. We'll see how it goes.
I would say, based on looking at it, Probably not worth it.
Ah, okay.
It didn't come out in one piece. At all. It was chainsaws and a crane that took it apart. So it was, okay. I mean, they were told to do it as, you know, well as you can, and don't, you know, intentionally.
Nail pullers. A crane is a nail puller. Splinters.
But yeah, I mean, it really, they stay together for a while, and then they just crumble on themselves. So they're pretty messy.
Yeah, not structurally messy. Engineered.
No.
Okay.
Winter maintenance schedules are posted. And one more, which is the fish unit dredging.
So Carolyn Schneider needs something done to EPA, and I guess the FCOM is working on. So I'm going to write up an MOC, but I would like FCOM's concurrence that we can dredge in front of the fish units, not only this year, but as a regular routine maintenance action.
What's in the material?
Whatever comes
down. Clams, corbicula, lots of corbicula.
Clams,
whatever was up the Big White Salmon River.
Okay. But do we have to identify that, or we just say it's okay to be there? What's your memo is targeting that it's okay to work there?
What she needs is that we have concurrence with the region that we can do this activity at all.
Not into the details of disposal.
Okay. Yeah. Disposal will be upland disposal.
Is it upland? Turn habitat.
So you're all quiet. I actually need...
Turn habitat. I'm just thinking.
So the reps, you just run through the reps and ask them individually.
Heck.
Washington, any issues? Washington, good?
Invasive species.
Yeah, no,
you don't know. Good.
Well, even if there are invasive species, do you want them left there? Fish. And do you want the fish unit shut down, or do you want to dredge that we can
dredge
maintain official?
Dredge it.
Getting this fish and wildlife, good?
I'm going to...
What took you so long?
Postpone that answer until I can check and make sure that the consultation covered an annual occurrence rather than just... Well, you just said any time.
No, I said 18.
Okay.
We only take that ladder down every other year.
Every 5 years.
So I need to find out if it was part of the routine. If the routine part of this...
I'm sure glad. This could be good. Where's my camera at?
So when do you think you can get that turned around mission for this? Dave, do you have to do it this time?
As far as I know, I thought the consultation was done for this time. We did agree to it, but she just needed
you to say yes.
She needs FPOM concurrence.
Please, do it.
This time or every time you're after?
Dave,
let's just go with this year.
Yeah.
Just want this one done with.
Okay, we're going to go to the Walla Walla.
Yeah, did you get
to ask Russ and Tom? Russ and Tom, yes.
And if I can get a signed letter from the Corps, that'd be great. Just joking, it's fine.
Russ?
No objections here.
Thank you.
It's fine.
Anybody else on the phone there that needs to weigh in? I don't think so.
Okay, we'll go ahead with Walla Walla updates. Want to do a transport update, John?
Well, as everybody knows, transport operations end October 1st at Lomo and McNary, and Little Goose and Lower Granite. We ended on the 31st of October. All fish of these facilities are being routed to their primary bypass, except at Granite and McNary. Granted, of course, is secondary bypass because they have to route through the separator and out through the secondary to have full flow detection. And people are manning that separator 24 hours a day until shutdown on December 15th.
These guys saw a coordination form on that.
Right. We have a coordination form on that.
She got a thumbs up from whoever responded.
Okay. At McNary, they were at through a primary bypass until Tuesday. They did have a problem with their clean brush on the rectangular screen, and they couldn't keep it going, so they're now on emergency bypass as of Tuesday.
And they're expected to be there until probably next week sometime. They had to order parts for the gearbox.
And then by then, it will be mid-November. Who knows what the weather will do by then, so if it's freezing, then they may just let it go. So
Well, they're going. They're on a path to fix it right now because at this point. But we did start to freeze last night over there, so that's just a heads up he's giving you. We may be going back weather-wise into more wintry evenings over there. So.
But the current plan right now is to fix it and return it to normal operation.
This has been a recurring issue. Ordering parts, you normally try to have spare parts on hand.
Well, they don't have another mechanism, but they think they could get the parts.
We don't have spare gearboxes.
Yeah, the gearbox for the lifting mechanism.
It would be good to have this. This is one of those items we normally have spare parts for. We should.
One of them they had a spare part for, the other did not.
Okay, well, that's can they do that?
This is the one that doesn't. But once this is over, they will have spare parts.
Okay.
Okay, that's a good update. So the next one was the adult fish count update. And that's pretty simple.
Okay, fish count is done for the visual counts are done for the year. Video counting started November 1st at Bonneville, the Dalles, McNary, and Lloyd Granite. And the schedule was in the 2012 fish passage plan. We're sticking to that.
So I think the other update is we're anticipating any day now to have a different contract awarded, and then we're still hoping that after the January FPOM to potentially have some discussions of whether or not we have any places that we can stay within the biop and look at reducing scope and just other ideas that people may have for the future out there. So we'll just give an update after we go through that checkbox, but we have potentially a change going on there. And it is a contracting change for the Corps, you know.
For fish count.
For adult fish counts.
Yeah, right. I'm just trying to.
So
I thought we moved on.
Kind of a standard.
Good.
Contractor in place for a long time, and it would appear that we are going through a small business set aside process with contracting due to a lot of the contracting issues that the Corps has experienced throughout the world in recent years. Kind of a forced change. And so that will likely mean
has left the conference.
It will likely mean that we have a different contractor in place next year, which potentially, you know, starts to change things. Different impacts, you know, than just something that's steady and whatnot. So I think we'll maybe plan still after January meeting to have a discussion, maybe just an update of where we're at. Like,
did we set up a subgroup for this? Wasn't that something?
We talked about it.
Yeah, we have one set up for after
January.
Is that it? Okay.
We got this done and kind of talk about just status.
Okay. Well, yeah, or what, I mean, things are changing. If it's all up in the air, where do we need counting?
Yeah, well, it has the. You know, the potential there is a financial impact, and, you know, as we've talked about before and we talked about then, we have a fixed amount coming in through environmental stewardship to fund our fish facilities. As we go out and get another contract, if the contract costs change for the same work, then we effectively are starting to take away from what we put into the fish facilities. So that's the trade-off that we have going, and so if in the long term we have some places where stay within the biop limitations and back off on some of what we're currently doing, that's the kind of stuff that we want to talk about in January. Because then we essentially free up.
When you talk about biop backing off, you're talking about counting, fish counting.
Yeah,
within
just
the biop,
requirements. I guess it came up because I think Vern came in the last meeting and said that he'd been hit up by the PM for lamprey that there was a lot of concerns of him backing off any place on that. But we really need, at least from, we would like from all the wall, I'd like to be able to go back to our OPMs. I directly got asked this question yesterday, you know, what are you potentially going to do so that I can still fund, you know, the normal routine at my fish facility if my costs are going up for these counting services? And, you know, reducing scope is a potential place to look. The other potential place is what's called insourcing, whether or not the Corps, you know, down the line should retake that over. But that's really, I don't think that's on the table potentially. There's a lot of things that stand in the way of that.
Well, and that costs too. I mean,
be like a year-long process to get approval from the Secretary of the Army.
Would it be any cheaper? Really?
Well, you know, that, the reason I bring it up is that one of the OPMs asked me, suggested that they thought that they might be able to do it cheaper. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe we're getting to that point in time where it was cheaper for us to do it again. But then as I went through our hierarchy a little bit with the email yesterday, our assistant chief of ops came back and said, that's insourcing. They'll take you at least a year of process to get approval from the Secretary of the Army.
So for the January discussion, rather than everybody going in there totally cold on the issue, can you lay out some options, including the insourcing, including options that we might be looking at, like reduction in effort? It's up to the group to talk about which dams might be eliminated, but... that's one option, and you're talking about other options.
I think we might develop that with the first working group meeting.
Yeah, I think that's fine.
And then we'll see where that goes.
I just want to know what, if you have several options, Corps of Engineers has several ideas that you're pursuing, the group should have that ahead of time so that you can think about those options.
We're not pursuing anything right now.
So the question before the committee, the group, is going to be really which sites are... If you reduce sites, reduce the effort to save money, which ones would they be?
It's for people to weigh in, and then we probably take that back and let people in respective agencies digest that, and maybe in the next round then talk about feedback.
There's lamprey issues here. There's bull trout issues here. There's salmon, not so much. The biop really doesn't require counting, or we're relying on pit tag detections.
Well, and that's going to be good feedback from you, because when Bernie and I first started kicking this around a few months ago, when it looked like we had this potential change, when I went back to our division folks, I got this real, you have to do this for the biop answer. And I was never really aware where this hard and fast you had to do it for the biop was either. And so we potentially...
I think it's part of the harvest section, isn't it?
It's a harvest biop. Yeah.
That may be the case, but for FCRPS, it's not. So for harvest, and then, we'd have to look at that more carefully. Okay.
And that would be, and some of my suggestions, make sure you're asking the people there from TAC, because they're the ones who use the data and can dictate which is the critical sites and which ones aren't. Because I'm not going to be able to answer that question for you. That's really what it's going to come down to.
I think it is TAC.
Where am I going to get a list of who's on TAC? You got it? Okay. We got that noted. Thank you, Tom.
Who's the chair of TAC today? You know, Tom?
I think it's Cindy.
Still Cindy?
LaFleur?
LaFleur is the current chair.
I think it's the Oregon.
Was there in Costell last year. I think Cindy did it now.
Okay, she's not.
Cindy's doing the new position.
Okay. That's right, she's
her position's off.
There you go.
We'll find out who the
new
chair is, and
we'll
get that answer for you.
There you go, Ann.
Another part of that, Ann, it was brought up at the last fairway at Walla Walla, was that some of the Snake River dams are fixed. The count stations are fixed at 18 inches.
Right.
Can we get an update on which ones are fixed and which ones aren't, and what it might take to get those so they're not fixed anymore, so we can move those windows? Just kind of a separate side note since we're talking about counts.
I thought the update... from Chris Pinney suggested that Little Goose was fixed, and that there was plans during this winter work window for that to be broken free by George Mellinson. I'm not aware that any, I'll have to check. I don't recall when I had just an update from Chris that any of the others were fixed, although it seemed like there's another one that was
ice, I think,
rusted in place.
Fixed too.
Ice, both of them? Lomo?
Yeah, there's a couple.
Okay, I'll go back and query that, so for the next FCON. Okay. And then what you want is not just which ones identified, but will they be broken free this winter work window?
Why are they fixed? And some ideas of what it would take.
If they're rusted in place, if they're actually welded in place.
You just have to cut a bolt off to get them working again, or are we going to have to go in there and throw $5 million at the thing to get it working, right?
That's not a good
idea. I mean, it'll kind of go into your discussion of which ones to potentially, axe or whatever.
Actually, the good news on that is that it seems like the project BIOS with their maintenance staff is something that they almost can do on site without getting it contracted out. So in general, if it's anything like Goose, maybe it's something that we can get done near term. But yeah, sure. I have that as a due out.
Thank you.
I'm just curious, what's the full operating range supposed to be?
36. Yeah, it's 36. Yeah, okay. 3 feet.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, and I think these were stuck at 18, which is where we like to have them all the time. Normally, you want to open them up full width at night.
What's the minimum?
18. 18 is
so
down, yeah.
Right, 18 or more. Yeah. Yeah. Lower the same.
36. I'm not sure about 18.
18.
Is it? I think the only one stuck right now is John B. North.
It's stuck at 18. Stuck.
That's the one that we have really great passage on.
Well, it's probably the back.
It's a mixed weird white glass.
Okay, keep it moving. John just covered McNair Emergency Bypass. The next one is Ice Harbor Auxiliary Water System Pump 4. Essentially, that is not going to be fixed until the winter work window. Project maintenance staff has not been able to get at it. And when we pushed them for a schedule, they just came back yesterday and said that they weren't going to get to it until the winter work window. Lomo Raceway Screens. Everyone that was at Fitterwig got an update from Bill on that. So Bill is not going to be calling in today. For those that weren't there, the reps that were at Fitterwig gave a thumbs up for Bill to go ahead and install these other perforated screens in the other raceways next year. So that's only at Lomo. Next one is Fish Pump 3 is still out at Little Goose, and that will not be worked on until the winter work window. There's something stuck where they can't get it to turn on, so they're going to have to take it apart, and they're not able to take it to dewater it to take it apart right now because the bulkheads that slip in are not sealing, and so they have to wait until they can do the whole chamber in there, and that won't be until they take the ladder out. Next one is Lower Granite and a descaling update. I think John brought some numbers from the tail end of the season. The other thing that we alluded to at the last meeting was that we had some screens that were bent. And in talking with Martin Ahmed and Martin Shutters, we got some feedback that when we have bent screens, that may have been part of our descaling problem because we essentially had our cleaning brushes not being able to touch appropriately on parts of the screen. So we had three bent screens, two of which are not repairable. And we are in the process of acquiring the prototype screens from John Day that have been sitting around for quite a long time and getting those barged up here in the off season. It appears that they're close enough that we will be able to just use them with just some minor motor changes.
Should be pretty similar.
Yeah, yeah, they're pretty similar. And what we're thinking is we may do some gate well dipping just to get assurance early next year on that. Just as an update, at the last meeting, we did have a request for gate well dipping, and Mike Halter did get the crew out, and the gate well dip basket broke after the first gate well dip. So that's getting repaired this winter work window. But for the first dip...
Winter work window. Come on.
I don't know. It's getting repaired sometime. Well, here's the deal.
I used to do
At Lower Granite right now, we're really short on fish funds because of this fish screen issue. This is it's a very large cost just to get these things moved up there and then all the repair. So some of the stuff that was teamed up for this year, like ESPS replacement, belt grading, things like that, is not going to happen. You know,
dip baskets are not very high tech. They're pretty easy to fix.
Yeah, so they're going to get that fixed so that we have it available for use next year.
Oh,
because has been recommended by Martin's group is that we put these in the C slots where the lowest flow goes.
Just the
deal is that the bar screen is slightly different. So they have Fry criteria, I guess. Bar screens that's a little bit different than what we have existing up there.
0.7 or 1.75, I think, is what it is. Yeah, for a lamp.
So we'll be putting those, but it was kind of interesting. There was no real rhyme or reason to which screens got bent. I think at some point we probably should maybe have one of the staff come in and a little bit of a real talk through on what happened, but in essence what happened is the bottom pin
Yes, there's two pins. There's one that's kind of up midstream, and one at the bottom was not locking. And so on these feeds that were bent, there was some of this going on, and so the frames are actually bent. And so they have made an effort with the other projects, Little Goose and McNary's staff, to train them on why they think they had the issue and kind of mechanisms to not allow this to happen anymore. So
when they deploy, they're not locking in when they deploy.
When they unfold, they wouldn't lock.
Right.
Yeah, so they were thinking they were locked by the process that they were using for these 25 years. They haven't changed the process at all. And then suddenly, you know, there was kind of some questions. Did they have a new crane up there? Did you change the process? Things like that. The answer came back, no, they haven't changed the process. Everything's still the same. So I think initially they were looking at the guides to see if there was corrosion and whatnot that was keeping the pins.
Keeping them from deploying.
Anyway, they have a new mechanism they call like the double clunk with the crane, you know, where they are able to feel it drop, and then they've tested it each time with the camera to confirm it. So hopefully we won't have this issue on any more screens. But.
So if you get the right clunk, you know it's in. If you don't get the right clunk, it's not in.
And then we're kind of hoping that we'll be able to get some funds to kind of get these bent frames repaired so that we have some spares for the system
up
there. Yeah,
these are expensive. These screens are very
expensive. Looks like $500,000 per screen to get them repaired.
Yeah. To build new ones.
Still cheaper than buying them new. The new ones.
It's a trunnion pin for each screen.
Twice that.
So do you want spare pins or a trunnion pin?
Yeah.
That's
what it comes in about the same.
Yeah, so good luck with that, is what you're saying. Yeah, I hear you. You know,
we need to prioritize some of these things. It's nice to have spares, but at some point we need to stack up and say, what's our highest priority?
No, I hear you. You know, the fact that we're really fortunate, I guess the message here is that, you know, the fact that we're sitting at John Day.
I bet
Day,
John Day just loves the fact that they're out of there.
They seem to be pretty happy about it. I mean, nobody said no.
Now they know they're not coming back.
Yeah.
They were so happy.
We had confirmation last week that Mike had officially blessed it. Miro didn't give the total thumbs up, but Brad came on and let everybody at the division know that we had an official thumbs up from the research folks that had purchased them. We would have potentially had a unit sitting next year that we wouldn't be able to operate. So,
that's not good.
Really saving the bacon for us there.
Yeah, that's not good. Not a granite.
Anyway, that's kind of the update of what we think was part of our problem with descaling. So hopefully we have that resolved.
So when your dip basket broke, it broke before you had any data whatsoever?
No, we had 2A did get done. They were going to do 2A, 2B, and 2C. So you want a 2A?
2A, they... total of 22 juveniles, 21 of them subhuman Chinook, one rainbow trout, and two jack Chinook were recovered on those dips. Fish were in excellent condition, no observations of full descaling on any fish. Three of the subhuman Chinook had partial descaling, and all juvenile fish were transported to the fish facility and released back to the river. And the jacks, of course, were released above.
So none of them were classified as descale?
None of them were considered descale.
So it doesn't tell you much.
That was out of 2A.
Well, we're really struggling. You know, the fish facility folks have gone through everything a few times trying to figure out where the heck this was coming from, because it really arose in September. So pretty much about what we found at this point in time is the screens being bent.
Yeah, I mean, that's the dipping would have told you if it was happening outside. You know,
so
right outside.
We'll have that ability.
So you need to have that ability.
Year.
Yeah, get that thing fixed up.
So, John, I think, do you want to introduce the next one? We have another new one that just came up a day or two ago, and that's Dvorak Unit 2. It needs to go out for maintenance for 2 months. They're going to take it out in January. Should be back up by March. Hopefully no TDG issues associated with that. Obviously, we have the hatchery intake just downstream of the dam. A lot of concern if during spring runoff that the water would have to flow through the dam.
What was that time period again?
January, take it down in January. And maybe you want to, John brought some pictures. Why don't you share those and let them know what the issue is. It's really something that needs to be taken care of from a reliability standpoint.
So anyway, what the deal is on Unit 2 is it's had a history of depositing babbitt-bearing material since 2004. and but the unit was operating in acceptable ranges. This is occurring because the unit is wobbling on its axis. It's going in and out against the bearings, picking up the material and depositing it, and there's pictures of what they recently discovered. The crew recommend not to operate the unit because it will certainly fail if it keeps operating like that, and that's why the January outage is necessary. They do have a spare Babbitt bearing set that they can put in, and they're doing non-destructive testing, you know, dye tests and all to make sure it's all where it should be before they install it, and then they can get the unit back in operation.
When, again?
Before, it'll be a two-month outage.
Two-month outage.
Two-month outage starting January.
So it'll be January, February. Steve Hall has weighed in that it shouldn't be a water management issue at that point in time.
Okay. And that will buy us time. Now, if it turns out that the problem is not the Babbitt bearing, but the gimbal support that they sit on, that's a more serious problem and would mean another outage down the road.
But that'd probably be in the normal time frame. Mm-hmm. This should provide the reliability to get through.
And we'll get through the season for sure, but if the wear continues to occur, it's a more serious problem, and it's going to be a pretty serious unit outage.
Mm-hmm. Could you define the comment about we should get through the season? What was the season? What were the months of the season being defined as? Are you talking?
Well, you know, it'd be the same time that we have identified. You know, when we normally take out Unit 3 and we have the adult salvage, there's a time frame identified as optimum for that. So
September
that's,
to March.
Yeah.
So I was just trying to ascertain the on that operation. It's generally the key check-in point is the end of August. Wasn't sure how that end of August fit into the. What's being discussed here as far as...
So, you know, I think he's the chief of maintenance, is Larry Deardorff out there, and, you know, he's obviously aware of potential impacts that he has through operations, and so, you know...
So it just depends on how severe a problem this turns out to be, and if there's additional time needed, we're just going to have to...
So best case scenario, it's the bearings. Worst case scenario, end of March, we would know, and then there would be a more extensive outage for Unit 2.
Later in the year, we'll
later
be back
in
the normal period that it's acceptable to have an outage.
If they can get it.
If you could get
it.
That's
wear.
Yeah.
It's chunky wear.
Well, Scott probably knows better than we do. Like,
We also have
we ran into Greg Parker yesterday, that's the OPM out there, and, you know, he didn't... I mean, their understanding out of the project is that it should be something that they'll be able to get back in place. But what John's given is the caveats. There's always a lot of uncertainty.
You know, when can they get the parts? What exactly is wrong with it?
You know, but,
those pictures were kind of frightening to look at.
Yeah, that's a little more than wear.
Yeah, more than wear.
That's chunks.
They had another video attached, which I obviously can't pass around, but... It showed the unit moving in and out.
So you can actually see it.
But it was wobbling.
It's within a quarter inch of the wall. And so they're worried about it hitting the wall.
It could, then you've got
so
a
they're not gonna run
major mess.
They're waiting for it to get there.
And if it continues to run like that, it will be really, really bad.
And then anything new on Unit 3?
We don't have an update on Unit 3.
Okay.
Don't have an update on it, but anyway. They haven't got the exact timing yet on the Unit 2, but it is forthcoming, and then we'll have more details on that one.
Yeah, it's January, John.
January, but I don't know the exact dates.
Well, it'll be the early January. As soon as they're back from break, they're on it.
But the project sounds confident, or sounds reasonably certain that it's...
They're giving a try because they think they can get back in service.
That's right.
Okay.
Then
Unit 3, they're planning on taking it out of service and restacking it. For some repairs this fall, potentially late August, September. But
next year?
Yes.
Yeah. But that might get delayed a year depending on how you get to, let's say, tear it apart.
Okay.
So
might be preferential.
Right. Both are at play. Units 2 and 3 are both having issues. Mm-hmm. 2 is the worst of the 2, though.
Both are having this wobble problem?
Now, the 3 is the leaking of the water. When we put the copper, when we tried the cedar one here, and we went to the copper fix. And welding it together. So far, it's handling it. It's doing okay. But at some point, you got to do more extensive repairing. And that was looking at doing it next September, October, or...
What was the time frame for that repair?
Well, that's next fall, starting in August or September. I want to say it takes 5 or 7 months, but it's an extensive repair. So we'll get more details on that as it comes available, but the two are playing off each other. You know, unit two is worse off than three.
Two I'm more concerned with, because that's what regulate the water with out of the reservoir, can get the volume out. And you might remember the year before last, we had trouble getting the reservoir down to the level we wanted it to.
Three is the main unit,
but the flow we had coming in.
Three is the big unit.
Yeah. 10K. Yeah. Sure. These are what, 2.5
or so. One interesting thing, just for the update from the hatchery that we have going on, is at least half of the hatchery where we're raising steelhead this year should have the degassing towers in place. And, you know, that at this point, that's all we think is going to happen.
But, you're thinking...
We're still working. We have Tim Dykstra has been working with Scott and some of his allies back there to see if there's any way to come up with the additional funds to get the whole thing done. But at this point, the only certainty is half. So that'll be a... Anyway, that buys us a little bit.
The other issue is the pipe that fell off. How's that coming for getting it back on?
Yeah, and that's a little outside my scope because it's Lawrence State Comp. But what we did have is a week ago that an inquiry that the Portland U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is working through Portland District using their dive coordinator to come over to our project because we don't have a dive coordinator anymore. And they were diving out at Dorshak on Monday and Tuesday. I believe that was an exploratory dive to define just, I don't think they've had divers down there yet. We used cameras, remote operated vehicles to identify where the pieces were and the condition of the pieces. And so now what they want to do is potentially go back with a different design that has a greater radius of turning to be able to pull the water in from a broader radius, which would allow more flexibility in some of the rearing. And, you know, there's issues out there where people are potentially looking at rearing different capacities of some of the species that we're at down along.
The criticism of getting the pipe back on in December is that all the fish in Clearwater are living at Dorshak right now, at Dorshak National Mission. So at some point you run out of space, so you need the water to come through the pipe and serve Clearwater.
Keep it moving.
Hopefully in December. So. Any else on Dorshak?
Tom, where is Tom Lors?
Tom Lors.
So you're going to replace the bearings, awesome. Are you going to buy another set of bearings as a backup? So if it turns out it's bearing, everything gets delayed, you have a backup set so you can wobble yourself through another season if need be?
That would be Walla Walla, not Burn. And I think...
Both are asking Burn because I can actually hear him the best.
Okay. And I think... I don't think we're prepared to answer that. Scott might have an update, but I would say no, we probably won't have a spare set on board as soon as we replace this. But once we replace this, have a better idea of what we need, then they'll be working towards acquiring all the parts that it'll take to make this a functional unit in the future.
A more dependable unit. Hopefully it's a functional unit.
Oh, sorry. Good catch. Yes.
More dependable.
More reliable.
Yes. Any other questions on Dorshak? Okay, let's move on to 1-3 research fitter wig updates. The only thing we have on here is Bonneville Juvenile Monitoring Facility wanting to bypass on the 31st of October. Anything else? We'll move on to the RCC update.
RCC update. Lower Granite currently. Day average yesterday was 21 kcfs, 5-day forecast 21 kcfs, 10-day forecast 22 kcfs, McNary yesterday's day average 123, 5-day forecast 121, 10-day forecast 122, Bonneville yesterday day average 125, 5-day forecast 129, and 10-day 131. Current operation for Chum is a 11.5 foot tailwater at Bonneville Dam.
Okay.
Plus or minus 0.2.
Nathan, are you on the phone now for the lamprey updates? Well, he jumped off the phone.
Yeah, so he did earlier.
He's probably driving out here, so we'll push that down the bottom.
Nathan back. Has joined the conference.
Wow. Telepathy.
Nathan.
Yes.
You're on.
That worked good.
Lamprey updates.
Lamprey update. So, what we wanted to bring up was the core and the drives at the bi-monthly meeting. We've got a request to increase the hold time during winter dewaterings for adult lamprey from 24 to 48 hours. So, if people are familiar with this issue, that facilitates upstream drives, like people diving in from Nez Perce and hotel reservations, to, well, the current situation is, they have to start driving in the morning of a dewatering, not knowing if there's going to be any fish available or not, drive roughly 6 hours to get to the project, and then find out. So to alleviate them driving back and forth, the 40-hour hold period would allow the fish to be kept overnight. They could be contacted the day of, and then come down the next day to pick up fish. So what I did was to go and talk to the project bios and get their input on this, if they have the ability to hold fish, how this work, what this look like. And in general, the feedback I got was fairly positive. Some places like John Day have a juvenile fish facility there, so fish facilities available for holding fish in a safe way. Other facilities, such as the Dalles, said that if they were supplied with the equipment to hold fish, they do want to try to support that. And probably the big concern from the project boundary side was that tribes themselves would be responsible for the fish. Any mortality that happened during holding would go against the travel permit, not against the core, so to speak. And tribes were fine with that. People that are interested in collecting fish were willing to take on that responsibility. Really, I guess what I want to bring this up at Foncourt was to get some feedback from Fish and Wildlife Service as we go forward and kind of refine the details of how these fish would be kept and some of the criteria to try to get some input from them as the process moves forward.
So we're going to have a separate meeting, is that what you're saying?
We could do that, yeah.
So let's talk and bring it back to the office.
Okay.
Contact Dave today? Tomorrow?
Today?
You gonna go back?
Yeah, I'm not gonna be in the office tomorrow to be actually touching the fish.
Research?
Gonna help him tag on the cars.
Okay. So you can get a hold of Dave this afternoon.
Maybe. Okay.
I'll call you when I get back.
I just have a question. How are they proposed being held besides John Day? Do I get some of the other projects?
Can you describe how they're being held? And what's the tank looks like?
Currently, fish are not being held. That's, I guess, kind of what we're trying to get to that point. So if John Day has a juvenile fish facility for keeps, and that's the idea there. If they were going to be held at, like, the Dalles, for example, we need to kind of offer equipment to do that. But exactly what that looks like, you know, we haven't really gotten too far in the weeds on that.
I said we're talking about all the projects before.
No.
Because personal
dowels, usually you just dump the fish right in the river. You not necessarily hold it sand. It's really just the land present out there. So you might have to designate certain things for land present.
So it sounds like we need to work out a plan here.
Yeah, and actually, I like the path to go, because that's what we do when people, researchers come into the JFS and need assistance or whatever, you know, kind of require them to put a body there for the extra effort that's required to facilitate the project. So, I think.
The tricky part is dewatering has gotten things better. We don't see as many land rates left behind. So, it's just been
essentially
a convenient way to collect fish that are being handled anyway.
Well, see, and part of it is we don't necessarily have to handle them anymore. We can just chase them down. But if there were people who were interested in collecting those fish on site, helping with the dewatering, then you would have someone who would be dedicated to that. Otherwise,
I know there's a situation where all the fish had to be handled anyway. But yeah, there is the other situation where fish can just be chased down.
Yeah, I guess one other thing to keep in mind as far as John Day goes is right now the fish facility is dewatered and winterized. So you might want to keep that in mind. Because previously, when we dewatered the upper north ladder, last week we were relying on the Dalles fish tank to keep in the lamprey that we were going to collect for the tribes on project.
Eric, can you describe those guys, what that tank looks like? I don't have much experience with it.
What's that, the Dalles fish tank?
Yeah.
That's a good question. We didn't have oxygen we were going to supply in the tank for overnight and have someone stay there just to monitor them. So, luckily, we didn't come across them, so we didn't have to worry about it.
All right, well, Nathan, I think you need to talk to Dave later on today, and you guys can then...
I just want to get the details from him and then figure out what to say.
Run it through the region again, through the Lamprey group.
So I think we're going to assume that there's no additional impacts of salmon. If you guys find there are some, then let us know.
That's the thing we need to identify if there are impacts. Our priority right now is salmon first.
Yeah. It seems like lamprey generally have to be bagged more than salmon and other fish. Lamprey, just from my experience, they're a little harder to move through. So generally have to pick them up, just stick in the bags, just stick in the tank. So
it wouldn't necessarily be a lot of extra. I mean, if there's something we're doing already, I guess we're just trying to settle the whole time. But I don't want to get into a bunch of details.
Okay, what about
Dave?
Do you have any questions about McNary stilts?
The update is those are coming out, so they won't be in place next year. What we're doing is what's in the FPP, and that's the nighttime lower velocities we've been doing for each year, so the stilts are coming out for next year.
What about the pump? You guys getting a backup pump? Or?
We're still looking into what we can do about a pump. Obviously, it's another thing on the big list here of things to be prioritized as what's most important. No funding in place at this time for FY13. Has been discussions at higher levels in the Corps. I know that our chief of ops had a discussion with Vision, Paul Oker, inquiries, things like that. So I'm not sure if there's people that already elevated it. They are looking around, but we don't have anything locked in at this point in time.
So what was your conclusion on whether that worked or not for Lamprey? You guys are thinking it's not going to be a good solution to have that off sale?
No, they just don't. They're not planning to do any research next year, so they're taking them out. At this point, they're still moving ahead with the potential prototype. I did leave the meeting and give Dave a call and asked him whether Fish and Wildlife Service was going to be willing to weigh in that there was no bull trout impacts to putting in that structure, and he's still working on us giving him enough information to kind of come back.
On the box, the big structure?
Yeah, the new entrance at SFP2.
I didn't realize it had changed from 1 inch to 2 inches. I wasn't that big enough to pick up.
So Mark Smith is supposed to be providing, it was supposed to be within this week. I'll go back and remind him that I still haven't received it. But I have asked for a description, just like we talked about, to provide you. So you know, you heard me at FinnerWeb, you know, from an operations standpoint, because of the limitations in funding, you know, we have to be really careful about what we're letting people build out there, that we're not just creating more problems for ourselves.
Yeah, you're running your pumps harder, maintain head, not maintaining depth. So those are all issues. Yeah, that, I think from what you guys are trying to learn, you learned it. Lamprey are there, they're deep, yeah. You've got the information you needed for the study, so it doesn't make sense to continue to do it at all at this point. But the design, the 2-inch, all that, I think that's still a discussion for us too.
And then let's put stuff in writing back to the group, because you know, I was kind of the lone voice there at the core, and with all of that PDT ready to beat the shit out of me after I ended up, you know.
Write
so
that down.
I don't mind doing that. That's the reality. And Tammy, not in the notes again. No more.
This is kind of fun, actually.
No, because then I just have to edit it out later.
Yeah. Isn't that fun?
And then everybody will jump on that one and say, yeah, leave it in. And by the way, let me have a shot. Gary will go, and after we beat that one to death, let's bring up the avian at McNair.
Oh.
Sorry. Okay, so anyway, written feedback would help, depending on what people's feedback is, if you have anything, you know, adverse, because what's happening is, you know, the Lamprey Task Group really works outside of some of these groups and then just brings stuff back here occasionally when they're ready to trigger. And from an operations and maintenance standpoint, we're really trying to head off anything that we think is going to be, you know, extremely expensive to maintain, or something that's going to open us up to some further mitigation, litigation down the line.
Well, yeah, the new entrance, the design, the big box, and all that, that has to be discussed, I guess, through the regional farm process. So. I mean, we've been involved in design. We've been down in Mississippi and looked at it. We've had our concerns, and I'm not sure where they're at this point.
I think maybe round this again is we'll probably see some research results at AFEP, hopefully, and then maybe by the next FinnerWeek, make sure it's on the agenda.
I think
let
that's
them
a good
give
idea.
Us
yeah.
some greater updates, because it's really FinnerWeek. I mean,
it is.
I'm not trying to bring it here. I'm mostly doing a reminder here that
the stilts are an issue for O&M, certainly from a pump standpoint, but the new design's not really. Yeah.
But then when came back, and basically said that if we could maintain, if it was core criteria, the 9-foot and that 8-foot's good enough for you, well, we can maintain 8 with 2 pumps. However, we're still very concerned about not having a backup pump when we're running 2 pumps all the time, because usually what we have is 3 pumps and we rotate between those 3, so we don't, you know, put all the wear on 2, promoting unreliability. So
no, I'm very concerned about not having the other pump. Anything we do to put more wear and tear on what we have is not a good thing. But we could, as far as the 8-foot, we're still, that's criteria. That's our criteria. I know there's slop in there, and that's what Brad was trying to get.
That's a fish passage plan form that group has put together, and we'll be putting in as a request for a fish passage plan change in 2013 to change the criteria at McNary to 8 feet.
Yeah, that's okay, as long as my only concern is that Brad had that there for a reason, and if he was having trouble maintaining 8 and had to set it at 9, then we want to make sure we at least maintain 8.
Yeah, right now, you know, our long-term person is Bobby Johnson, and, you know, he hasn't brought up anything for people's awareness. So what we're hearing from the project is that they're pretty confident they can maintain the 8
feet. That's no problem.
We're just going to have to watch it, you know, on inspection.
Well, the way Martin described it is the reason they had 9 is because it made sure that they had the 1 foot of head differential when they had 9 foot. They were guaranteed, with all the difficulties in measuring the head differential, they're if they could maintain 9 feet of entrance level, they had that 1 foot.
Yeah,
so now if you go down to 8 foot, you know, you have to just make sure that you're getting that 1 foot of head differential.
Well, those two aren't related, though, so I'm a little...
Well, that's what he was describing.
To me. You know, I think, you know, Brad was there a long time. Brad was there, I believe... John Day went in during the period that Brad was there, and so you know John Day Pool kind of changed things at McNary, and there were no structural changes to accommodate that, and so operationally they may have kind of given themselves some leverage depending on what was going on elsewhere. We are going to have to watch it.
If they can maintain 8 foot and the 1 foot of head or one and a half, that's. We're good
1.5? Where did that come from?
The Lambrew stone?
No.
The target is 1 to 2 feet instead of for 1.5 foot ahead. One is your absolute minimum.
Got it.
So, right, you'd like to have, yeah. Because if you only shoot for your goal of one, part of the time you'll be out as you fluctuate as your message, Tom.
The higher you go, the harder it is for lamprey.
Well, but also that's the target you have from everywhere. Jerry, I'm just saying you're not going to beat up my head when you get back to the office.
I just thought I would add that, Tom. Well, the criteria are what they are. 1 to 2.
So that's it for McNary right now. Next one's
Avian
Hazen.
1 foot of 8 feet per second.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot.
It's a lot faster.
That is.
Hazen, are you reporting out on Avian Hazen? It might not be.
I haven't been requested to.
Okay.
So, no update.
Do we need one next time? Or?
I don't think so. There's nothing. There's not much going on.
The McNary Avian
line down here? Assuming that we waited until we saw some data before we started talking about that one again. We still have the same.
We don't need data. I saw the birds were there. Do something about it.
So, you know, the only thing I'm going to say on that, and we're not going to put the nose, is that we're going to be weighing costs there for all these other things that we want to do at McNary and what's going to be the most important to do.
Yeah.
It's all coming out of the same pot.
So in the meantime, we're working on a
another mic.
Annual work plan for Avian Hazen.
Yeah, I've heard some stories. I've heard rumors. I haven't heard anything else. I'm waiting to hear. I don't know. Scott's helicopters. I don't know what it is.
Wall is still looking into whether they can get a biological assessment written for lethal take to use Avis's lethal take permit. So we're still exploring the potential for some limited lethal take next year.
Is Ken doing that?
Yes.
That'd be good to have an update on. So let's have a discussion.
Yeah, I mean, right now nothing's happened. He's still working through process to see if he can get something like that written in time to even implement. But we are still exploring it.
Good. Yeah, let's make sure we keep that here, because I did recommend, and the Corps accepted that recommendation, to keep all hazing and wire type stuff in this forum and not in the inland avian.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Was that your last meeting?
No, that's been months ago that we did that. So we disconnected the hazing, all the work that we're doing at dams to reduce avian predation is here in FPOM. Not in the inland groups or any of the avian groups. So this is where it happens. So it's important.
And were you going to give a canon update?
Nothing's changed since last month. I don't think we still have anything. We're still working here.
We're working on it.
We're working on it. And so we will get the backup pump to facilitate the water cannon at the end in place here during November. It's because, and I think I told them at the last meeting, we won't have the permit in place for another year. So that was my get back to you on Avian, where everybody told me don't worry about the backup because, that's like 6 months off, you know, but What they've run into is some of the difficulty for the engineers really has been trying to put grading down this time that will actually stay in place out there. So we have some elements there that have challenged them and then some of the associated contracting. So anyway, we will have that, and our intention will be to operate that during the fish passing season like we do everywhere else.
Do you know when the work is supposed to end? To lift the port bay constraint? The repair work's going on now, so it's holding John Day at a range that's lower than normal.
You know, that's a good question that I cannot answer, but I can find out for you. When will the work on the bypass outfall water cannon and or grading end? Because it has a constraint on the John Day forebay.
Okay, we were talking about finishing in December for the secondary, the temporary repairs.
Yeah.
And the thing with the grading is that they needed a special kind of lock washer nut and nylon.
Right.
It's hard to get.
Hardware store.
Afghanistan.
Yes. We're not allowed to buy it.
That's the problem. I know.
Okay.
December.
So we're going to give an update back to Scott.
Okay. And you were looking at getting the water cannon that John Day wasn't using, I believe it was,
yeah.
And possibly using that. Did that ever?
I'm not aware of that discussion. No.
Yeah, I remember it being brought up. But.
Yeah, Miro made it available, so I don't know if there was shipped there or
did.
Okay.
Five
guys. Big score.
Well, they said it isn't being used at John Day. It
hasn't been used for years.
Right. So it's potentially, if you use it, they would like to surplus it.
Yeah, to do with the screens.
Exactly. Put on the bar.
Any more junk we can use up in Wall
of Life? What happened to the J blocks?
J blocks.
They're gone. Yeah, they're
gone. Yeah, those are the ones that I must say.
We might have been able to take it to Lower Granite and give them a surface bypass glider.
You never know. Or Ryan could use them to make a pit tag detector out of.
Yeah, there you go. Ryan.
Okay.
But the temp.
EPA updates. There is a new constraint that some of you heard about yesterday, but on the 115 kV line at Bonneville Dam, units 1, 2, 9, and 10 are on that line permanently. During the summer, its restriction is 150 megawatts. Previously, it was 220 megawatts. So there are certain times when the flow is very high that we'll bump into those limits. And those will be in place until we're able to put in a RES scheme, which trips units, and that's probably a year out. What's changed is that after the large blackout in the Southwest last year, they've looked at criteria. They changed criteria, and a lot of our lines are on the same tower. Separate lines, but are on the same tower. So if one tower falls over, they say it's a contingency. Where before they weren't looking at it as taking both lines out, it actually does.
Falling over?
Falling over does, yeah.
Yep.
So it overloads the line going on the river, and so they can't have that happen.
They get too heavy because they're carrying too much electricity.
Right, they get too hot, they get stretched, they go to the ground, they hit the ground.
That is a problem.
Like we did 96 and we blacked out 13 states.
What are the odds of that, though, with those lines, given that they haven't had any problems in the past?
They have to have it in place, so
doesn't matter.
It impacts your ability to run those units outside in best geometry part of the year, maybe. However we get to 150 megawatts is how you get there. There may be units out on that line, and so you can run units harder.
So the bottom line for Powerhouse 1 is 150 megawatts top?
For the 150 kV line. There's two lines that are running there, two types of systems. One's a 230 system and a 115. The 230 system is restricted to 690 megawatts. So combined, you can see 690 megawatts.
Those four units would capacity is about 200. When they're running normal head and cranking along, so you know that's already a limitation.
You're losing a limit or one unit.
Yep.
Most likely.
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
It depends on what's getting worked on.
Can't imagine you guys letting that just slide for very long.
We're working for a solution, but it's a year out.
That's money down the tubes.
We continue looking at all the things we're doing for open geometry and what we want to do with the powerhouses, but. For this season, they're limited to 150 megawatts.
It kicks the spill, kicks the capacity of the powerhouses down a bit, kicks spill up a bit.
Right. And so there's a chance, depending on the flow, that it could impact our ability to back off units in powerhouse too. But that's, flow's got to get pretty high and you have to hammer off units on
the spill more.
But I'll write something up as to what the exact...
Yeah, please do.
There's a generation consideration out there that tells you exactly by season what the restrictions are.
Okay. I'm just going to clarify that. So spring is not a problem?
No, March 15th on is when the
March 15th.
That's the problem. Yeah, it's not good for us.
And so what we've asked for this year is to look at specific air temperatures to see if there's a way we can...
Oh, really? If it's cool, a cool spring, you can get away with more.
If it's cool, you can run more through...
So they get an actual rating curve or something like that, temperature?
They try to develop something.
That's good. Okay.
So it will give us a little bit of
squeeze
back,
it.
But not all.
Yeah, no, you just squeeze it as much as you can.
Yep.
Okay. So you'll, to the subgroup, something, put something together.
And we it's now in place, and so I wanted to make you guys aware of it.
Okay,
understand. Other than that, I haven't had a chance to look at the next 45-day outage list, so nothing to report at this time.
Okay, let's get into our coordination forms and need concurrence. The first one in Bonneville is JSAT test. There's a lot of
done
comments.
That's gone, done.
We're done.
Yep.
The next one would be
Orifice
Flow, Washington Shore.
So let me ask a quick question here on that Orifice Flow. I can't find it right now, I apologize, but when I got that coordination request, I said, okay, I know what Orifice Flow means, and I thought, I wonder if it's defined in the FPP. And it's not really defined, but I found some conflicting language. So what is Orifice Flow? Does it mean no extra added water, just gravity? What's it mean?
I don't think we have it that tightly defined anywhere.
Yeah.
It means no AWS flow. So
yeah, it's just ladder flow. It's about 100 CFS or whatever. Thanks to.
It's basically ladder flow, but technically, I mean, if you go orifice flow, you can reduce the ladder flow to where it's not overflow, it's just orifice flow. But it's not really defined, right?
Is there any value in defining it?
Well,
I found it. I got confused. Do you remember where it was?
I mean, when we do it at Bonneville, we'd be doing it today, per that request. We look to fill up the orifice volume of water, so you're pretty much dropping the ladder down to where you got full orifice flow still, but not going over the weirs, not even close. Okay.
Yeah. So there was a couple of statements in there about orifice flow for 24 to 96 hours before it's completely deep water. And then it said, operate the ladder to be dewatered at reduced flow for at least 24 hours. Reduced flow is defined as less than criterion operation, but more than orifice flow. So I couldn't figure out how you could have more than orifice flow without adding water.
You don't want that. You don't want fish in there.
I don't really understand what that's
supposed to be.
I mean, the difference between reduced flow and orifice flow to me is...
What page is that in?
Bond 37, 6.3.1. Okay. So, I just got confused. I didn't know what I meant.
It just means you're trying to back the fish out of the ladder.
Well, I understand that.
So, you're just backing it down.
What's that? Go to orifice flow for 2 or 3 days and then go to reduced flow. What's
the reduced flow? I don't know what that is. That's, boy, that goes back years and years.
And so I don't know what the...
Yeah. Oh, it probably is 10. I can't remember.
Well, according to this, reduced flow is between orifice and
normal. That, to me, if you did that post-orifice flow, you run the risk of pulling fish back up into the ladder. I don't know why you want to do that.
You need to revisit that and clean it up. That doesn't make sense.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know either. The idea was to drop it down enough to sit back fish out and then reduce salvage.
So reduced flow at one time, and now we just go to orifice.
So who's going to rewrite that?
But do we get rid of reduced flow reference altogether? But what do we?
Yeah, I'm gonna.
We have to have a definition of
orifice
flow.
It'll just be at reduced flow, and I'll remove the part that says reduced flow is defined as.
I think it's probably from Milo Bell.
Looks like
D3. I don't think he has Milo. Gary Johnson.
While we're still on that, are the VBS is coming out on the 2 units with screens?
Out. They're out.
Okay, thanks.
ROV sill inspection at the Dalles.
Yeah, so what we need to do there is on each side of the spillway, the entrance on each side of the spillway, with the amount of spill we had this year. In the past, we've run into issues with getting the bulkhead to seal because of debris coming up on the sill, so we have to get the ROV in there to make sure it's clean and push off any small debris that's on it. But we need to stop flow to do that. So now, to do the south entrance, we would have to do that probably mid-November in order to give us enough time in case there's a bunch of debris on that sill where we have to get divers out to get that thing to seal. Otherwise, if we're not able to do that, we run the risk of delaying the dewatering because we can't get a seal on the bulkhead. That's it in a nutshell.
This one.
So the south entrance, we're looking at November 14th. Yeah. And then the north entrance, that would be during December
17th.
17th, yeah.
1 hour each.
Yeah, only about an hour is all we need to get down at ROV.
So Tom's comment was to do it later in the day.
Yeah, and I dug up the dial graphs from the website, and midday and late day is probably not the best option. Actually, any time before 0800 is a better option, looking at Coho, Chinook, and Steelhead. Start to get to midday. There's always a dip midday. There's a spike in the morning, late morning, then a dip, and then another spike in the afternoon, and it drops off really late. So, we're proposing 0800.
Tom, 0800 or earlier than 0800, okay? Based on the dial passage.
I don't have any concerns whatsoever from the south.
Can you do a survey in the darkness?
And the lights on the ROV.
But now, keep in mind that the orange on darkness, you're supposed to go off to the south. We have to have everything. We're back now fishing.
So you're back in the east all the way down, too?
Yeah.
You can't isolate that?
To isolate them, it's very expensive. We have to shut off our users.
Okay.
And we have to deal with users that we can't close midway. So, it's problematic.
Okay.
Okay,
I was thinking you just isolate that.
Yeah, I wasn't clear on that one.
Okay.
So, it would affect the east entrance and the west entrance of the file.
That's bad.
Look at the current
value. You're getting those based on the county windows, right?
This is from the
right
counts. We showing those throughout.
So how far is it where you're doing this inspection to the county windows?
Where we're doing the inspection, it's quite a ways away.
Okay. I'm just wondering if those fish could have been en route and they'd already entered the ladder. You just seen them at the counting windows at 8 o'clock with the thing in there.
I was thinking about that too, but odds are, I would think, that fish just start moving at a certain time. Mm-hmm. So if the fish stop somewhere in the ladder, that's where they're going to be until the next morning and they start moving again.
So yeah, it's the entrance that you're really concerned about. And entrance and count and windows aren't the same.
Yeah.
They're just not. There's hours of delay there between them.
So it's early morning, good to go. Is there any problem?
And that's typically
first night.
That's very typically the time when they're moving through the entry into the entrances. I mean, that's up and down the river. I don't know about the count window, but certainly for entrances. First light. That's when we get the biggest.
We have more RT information on that.
That would be the key, because that would tell us exactly.
Stuck in the meantime, so it's doing it.
How about 1 o'clock after lunch?
What's that?
I mean,
these are all windows.
Yeah, that's a good time.
Tom, you want to weigh in on that hours?
Gotcha. Until 5 o'clock.
Besides later in the day.
So this is
the ROV inspection
sort of a crepuscular pattern that we're seeing here.
Yeah.
Anna's going to go grab some current.
Although it's not necessarily
data right now.
Can you hear
now,
Bert?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
I prefer Noon just because, you know, first light, if you expect fish to move, that's probably how big. If you really push hard and get it done in less than an hour, I can do it first light, but I would prefer Noon.
No, I think first light, or Noon is just the more leaning right now.
Yeah.
What's the counts? What are we looking at?
I didn't put anything else, so I'm about to go step into school and grab my first board, my second board.
What are our counts right now? I haven't had a chance to look at
it.
No, we're good.
Thanks.
This is the latest that you can do this?
I mean,
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. In order to give us...
What's driving the time again, the date?
Because if we run into large debris issues, then we need to pull in a diver to remove the debris.
Before
the December outage.
The outage.
Yep.
And you can't delay the outage.
Well,
is this something that we have to do every year, though? I'm just a little worried about this being...
This year, we spilled all the way across.
That's true.
That's why.
So you're more worried about it this year, and normally you wouldn't do this.
The south entrance has had issues there before. We spilled that far across. And we went all the way across to page 22.
So you're going
to
drop down. Give me the scenario of what you would do. You'd back off the fish units for how long? Just
back
right
off. You would mobilize all the ROV stuff, ready to splash it, and then have ops back off units, drop it in.
Take a look.
It probably wouldn't even take an hour.
Okay.
The whole thing.
And you're out of there
half
again.
Hour.
So all the activities right here.
Right here.
You're not doing anything up there at the east.
There, right.
Okay. Yeah. Hi. Whatever.
Cool.
As soon as he's out of the water, it calls
him. I don't care. It's not going to be. It's not going to be enough of an impact.
It won't take very long, but it's the cars that hold the clearances.
No, that'll be minimal on
this. Just don't do it first thing in the morning. I mean, don't do it at whatever the old.
Outside of the
daylight these days. I
7 a.m. right now.
I'm on elk hunting time, so I don't know what the real time.
Cars that we'll have set up.
Good. Let's move to
So was it noon?
Noonish.
I'll leave it 11-ish. Just don't do it first thing in the morning.
So
by that I mean,
well, let's look at Ann's information first before we officialize it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, Gary, we got some initial feedback from NIMS, and the project has been tracking this coordination request. Okay, well done. All right, let's move on. Unless you want to have discussion on it. No, I think that's totally a retraction. All right, John Day, LED, Orifice lights. Where's Miro for this one?
Miro's not here.
I know. He sent a messenger.
Yes, he did.
So Miro's been trying to get these lights changed, and he's been spending a lot of time researching them. And now he has some new lights with a new color spectrum, and he thinks that he's got the solution. So you want to describe it in more detail than what is written here?
Sure. Currently, right now, we have a 500-watt incandescent reflective bulb that we're using for illumination at the Orifice entrance right now. It's been a push lately to replace those with a lower wattage LED light just to save power and some maintenance costs, because some of the newer LED technology has a much longer lifespan than the incandescent bulbs that we're using right now. So we'd actually brought this up about 2 years ago with a light that we had found, and that light didn't provide the amount of illumination that we needed at the Orifice lighting, just doing a dry test in a tube that we had made on project, and primarily failed because it didn't have the optical range that we were looking for, and there was some concern about the blue hue that it was giving out. So currently, we found a new light from a company in Florida that has better illumination, and I think there was a handout that was posted on the site beforehand, and it does have the white hue that we're looking for, which has more of a natural light. It actually has the same nanometer readout and light hue as the light that was used at the McNary study for their light ring they were using on their egress study. So this is very preliminary right now, and we'd still like to do a little few more tests, maybe use our STS camera crane to get some more measurements and maybe get a side-by-side comparison. And we just wanted to bring it up right now to maybe get some feedback and discussion about it.
One thing I was looking at is these, not quite sure, this is not the best. There's not much with the...
No, I've tried to call the manufacturers, and I had a little bit of trouble with that too, but the measurements are on the table right there in foot candles. That was the measurement right there.
That's FC is foot candles, I think that. So the it looks to be much higher, but what I don't understand is this 25 optics thing, whatever the heck that means. I mean,
okay.
To me it sounds like they're focusing the light, which it looks like it too. You know, the diameter of the light illumination area looks much narrower, longer, narrower, and that makes me a little concerned about, you know, light fall off.
Right, that was one of the problems that we had with the earlier light that we were testing. It didn't have a more focused light spectrum going down the orifice tube. So this one has a 25-degree optic where the light's more focused going down the tube
right
into the area.
But is it more focused than the standard light?
This is something we're going to have to look into. So.
Yeah, because what I don't want to see is we have a large diameter glowing orifice there, and now we've got a pencil of light running out instead. You know,
well, that's something we're hoping to
good
get a better look at with the STS camera.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, what I'd say is at Bonneville, you guys went down the road of putting LEDs in too, and my concern is I want to make sure that the amount of light we get in the gate well is the same, at least.
Right.
And the spectrum is similar to what we have. I don't want a backslide.
Right.
We had, if it's better, great. But yeah, if it's worse, not so good.
Yeah, we had some concerns about the light intensity itself being that much more.
Mm-hmm.
Because
yeah,
too much isn't
could be
at all.
Yeah, exactly. So we want to be somewhere in the same ballpark. If we can get LEDs that have a similar light temperature and illumination,
right,
then sure, why not? I mean, I don't see a problem at all. But if we're going out into some area that we haven't explored or haven't researched, then I think we need to do a little more research on that. Or if it emulates what we saw at McNary, I'm okay with that too, because we've looked at it. But
right,
I don't want to do something new and then just go ahead and throw all the, you know, all the 16 units.
So Bonneville and McNary have LEDs?
Not yet.
No, Bonneville couldn't carry LEDs. But if you get a chance, go up to John Day and take a look at it, because with the LEDs, you can actually look down the light tube and see the water below, whereas when you're looking at the halogens, all you see is that reflection. So it should assist with actually looking down the light tube and looking at the orifice, which is pretty nice.
That's one good thing, but I still want to make sure that the overall function of this thing, which is to attract fish, is...
I'm going
to
go check it out. It's not green like it was at Bonneville.
Yeah, the green, the eerie green glow down the collection channel is a little too much right now.
It was beautiful.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask about the fixtures, because it's a totally different kind of fixture than the ones tested at McNary. Are they round like those, or are they just a fixture you put a bulb in kind of thing?
Well, it's a little bit different. I believe the fixture at McNary actually went over the orifice too.
It was kind of like a ring light.
It was a ring.
Yeah, this, like, the light would actually go on top of the orifice tube about 12 feet away from the actual orifice opening.
So it'd be more like a floodlight type?
Exactly, yeah.
It's more focused from what it sounds like to me, and that's what kind of concerns me a bit, is what that, you know, what's...
And they alternate even direct light current lights?
I think the direct current, if I'm not mistaken. And the nice thing about them is you can really dial in the wattage, so you can basically buy a light right off the shelf with a specific luminescent value, so you can really dial in to exactly how much light you want to put down the tube.
Well, all I'm saying is I don't want to step out there into an unknown situation here at John Day, so either stick with what we have in terms of the light quality, or emulate what McNary's done with the McNary studies, but I don't want to do something and then just walk away and hope it was good.
Right, and hopefully we should have something by next month or so. We can take some better pictures and some side-by-side pictures.
So you're testing it in one spot?
One spot?
Or one, two? How are you evaluating this?
We'll just have basically the setup. All the orifice tubes are the same length, and all the orifice openings are the same. So we can just do a side-by-side comparison. One tube with the existing hardware, and the other one with the LED.
Yeah, that's the key. Do that and come back and see how it is. I mean, like I say, I'm great with saving some money and some electricity if we can do that. I just don't want to go into something that's new and different.
That was our concern as well, too. So.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. Okay.
So have there been tests out there where they to determine the right intensity?
Well, I don't know if we know what right is.
Or not.
Yeah.
McNary did it for Bonneville 2 or 3 years ago. I can't remember if it was 2010 maybe. And we came back last year, I think, to FPOM. Ice Harbor was looking at something similar. And basically what FPOM weighed in on at that time was, again, just don't exceed what we had learned at McNary unless you're going to do some further research.
Right. I mean, that's all I'm saying.
We never moved off from, you know, they never acquired the funding that I'm aware of to move off that. So
I think at Bonneville, at least if we do the modifications, any of the modifications for the orifices, the idea is to put in ring lights there and send the McNary lights and go that route inside the gate well. They're actually inside the gate well, around the orifice. So, and the whole idea is to pull fish in close enough to the orifice that they get pulled through. And what we don't want them to do is swim the other way or not see it.
Where could they find what intensity value and that those McNary orifice lights are at the orifice? Because I would think that if they match that through their tube, I mean,
yeah,
get pretty close to that same value, then they'd be right in the ballpark.
Yeah, no. The testing they did at McNary, they had three treatments off 50 lux and 300 lux. They really didn't find much of a difference between the 50 and 300 lux as far as egress waves went. So
do you know what range of lux you're in with these designs here?
Well, just doing simple conversion, the incandescent one was, I think, around 120 lux. Mm-hmm. So looking at the other one, and actually, we're not going to take the test that the manufacturer sent us at face value. We'll do our own dry test, of course. Mm-hmm. But it was at around 350 lux.
Not at the light, but at
the orifice tube.
Okay. So you're a little bit above that.
Right. And like I said, this is the manufacturer's dry. Right. So.
Okay.
Sounds good. There's losses in the water, so yeah. Okay.
So
this wasn't a change form, was it? This is just a topic?
No, this is just an info. We're looking at it. Continue looking at it. You guys will continue to update each FPOM until we get
the
presentation. Sure. We've got a couple of change forms. If you want to go over them now, that's fine. If not, if you haven't read them yet. For the fish passage plan.
You don't have to go over them now, but
they're there for you to read. Speaking of, can we slot or hold January 25th for the fish passage plan meeting? Friday the 25th. Usually we do the last week of January for that meeting.
A day off. Sure, you can do whatever you want.
You get days off.
I don't have time.
Yeah.
When you get old like me, you get days off. You have to take days off.
So,
I can relate to that.
How old is old when I get to take days off?
Yeah. It all depends on your pay grade. You don't.
Use a couple of
them. I don't know, are you opting for a different Friday? Tammy said the Friday before.
You want to do the Thursday instead?
I can come in.
Thursday, let's do
I can come in the 25th if you want.
Thursday the 24th.
That works.
Okay.
that was just a placeholder for now. And we're going to also keep the 13th of December as a placeholder for a conference call, maybe, that you guys will all be at it.
Well, we can call in from there if we have some time.
Okay. I thought you were going to keep the 20th.
Or we did say the 20th back at the beginning of the meeting.
Check in and see if you're still on.
So cross off FPOM from the 13th.
Yeah, altogether. I'm still around here.
So SCT is canceled that day, but maybe we can have
FPOM call with a question mark.
Yeah, okay. FPOM call that day.
Yep, okay.
Before you close, Bern,
I think we had two more that we hadn't passed out, FPP forms. That John, were you just going to mention what we have in the packet for people watching, just an awareness thing? So we just have two more that were added after the meeting last time. Dave Wills asked us to add just a Lamprey tail string installation schedule, just so that people knew project
sure.
by project,
makes
wall
sense.
To wall. So we're putting we have a new appendix this year for other species, and I have that started. It'll just be like one page at this point in time. It's kind of Lamprey stuff. And then the other one, John, you're going to put in a change form for an additional truck release site next year?
Yeah, well, I've already submitted the change form, but it's basically to add to Hamilton Island for a boat ramp.
Yeah, thanks for mentioning that. I had heard that there were some issues with the truck drivers seeing predation, at least birds, at the outfall at Bonneville, so then they were reluctant to release their fish there, so they went somewhere else. Is that
was true for Lord Granite.
I get a little worried with that, and I did have a picture of 50 cormorants on the lower low flow release outfall at the smoke monitoring facility at Bonneville. And
the outfall monitoring.
So we ended up rerouting our trucks to Dalton Point.
I'm a little worried about just rerouting the trucks by, you know.
But Dalton Point's a great spring release site, but not so great late in the year.
Right.
You can barely get the fish in there, but we did get some longer piping and get the fish out there. If the trucks arrive late, they discovered on the big tanker, you use the backup lights and you unload the fish, they get attracted to the lights and won't leave.
So the interesting thing that people are saying here that I'm hearing is, so we had a truck driver from Granite that had an issue with this. It always occurs, and so why did we let them change?
But right.
So here's the deal. Essentially what's going to go is John's proposing an additional site so that if there's issues with too much rock or other issues with the existing, there would be a third site. But we can maybe have some further discussion of if people feel that they don't want to just have the flexibility within the FPP to just change, which is what's there right now, you can.
I'm a little concerned about knee-jerk reactions.
Right.
That outfall is placed in a pretty good spot. Cormorants or no cormorants. They just sit there because that's a nice spot to sit. That doesn't mean they're feeding there. That outfall that you're talking about, the Hamilton Island boat ramp, that was a disaster as a release point in the 80s. We actually were using it as a release point sporadically for a survival study that was done in 87, 88. And it was horrible. That was our control release, and we lost a lot of fish there. Learned the hard way not to release fish at the Hamilton Island boat ramp. So
that's not a good spot.
That is not a good spot.
It's pretty,
and that's
pretty
your... We've seen that, and that's not with a constant release, as yours would not be as well. It was with a sporadic release, and it was still a horrible spot. So, and you can check the Dolly 1987 report on that for Bonneville survival study.
Okay.
In the meantime, you've got an outfall that's been placed in high water, high velocity water. I have no idea why you would think that'd be a bad outfall, other than seeing something on the surface. But seeing something on the surface doesn't tell you what's going on below. So
we've been going down there and observing per request from those guys.
Yeah.
Because they were getting some reports from drivers, and you know, for the first month and a half to 2 months, we literally saw zero birds.
So we're just like, yeah, no problem. Right. We started to get some wood from these guys.
It was late in the season that this problem started cropping up.
That's because you got shad. And there was all these cormorants, and Andy was going down there and saying they were hammering their fish. So for the window that those cormorants are there, they found that spot when those guys would show up.
They're
so
actually going in on
Yeah. They're on there as well as in the water.
And they're going in the water when they release the fish. Yeah. Makes me wonder how good those fish were.
Who knows? And I don't have an alternative.
But it was late October where this was a problem. It wasn't a problem in September.
No, there's no birds there in the early season. Right. And then it got bad.
I still reluctant. Are you sure they're actually, I guess if they're going in the water when they release, then I would wonder why fish are on the surface.
I don't know.
I had numerous complaints. I had complaints from the drivers from Granite and Goose.
Right. I heard about that.
And
couldn't you call APHIS in there and have them haze right when you're doing the release?
Well, that's the thing that's kind of unrealistic because they're gone from Bonneville by then. To have them come for an hour each day in the middle of the day is, I don't know how we would do that.
Well,
I don't know why those guys couldn't walk out there. And
if those birds have figured out your release schedule for Bonneville Outfall, then they're going to figure it out wherever you go.
But can we? I know it's always come up whether or not the Corps can do that, but the easiest thing would be to have those truck drivers walk out to the outfall, shoot a firework at them, and release their fish.
Ring the dinner bell.
Bring
it back. Hey, I heard it.
I still aren't able to keep a sprinkler on that one because of the spring flow wiping it out.
Right.
On the high. Below. Yeah, it's only on the high. I still, what you see and what's really going on can be two very different things, even with birds jumping in the water, how many you're going to lose there.
Well, why don't we go back and really see with the truck drivers use pyrotechnics, because Little Goose is actually pretty avid on having their people do it. Granite hasn't weighed in that way. But
great idea. Don't transport that time of year.
Well, and that's something that can be weighed in on with something you guys hope to be talking about over the winter. Because, I introduced that last year, that late in the season, depending on how many fish we had, was it a good idea?
It's crazy.
So
it's expensive and it's crazy.
I haven't brought that back to the FPP again because everybody, last year. But, it's kind of something as you get out in those discussions to think about.
For the transport cop. But, I realize there's a high adult return rate from those fish. But when you tally up the numbers, it's not even a drop in the bucket.
Yeah.
It's just not. So.
Yeah, bottom line there is if we can find efficiencies for that program. Trucking is not a huge part of our cost. Obviously, barging is a huge part of our cost. So
still hauling back up and down the river, and I don't know.
It's still anything is
cost.
Additional cost.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, Scott?
Right. All the one in.
Yeah, so that's something we can talk about then maybe. But what I don't want to do is go down the road of building another release site, another person memorial release site like we have already out there at another location that will just as fail just as well.
So what I hear is you guys asking John to track putting in another FPP change form for this Hamilton Island release site. Let's just stick with what we have right now and investigate if there's anything that the truck drivers can do that's allowable from the standpoint of shooting off some caps.
These whirlpools?
Yes.
There's some real restrictions and licenses.
They're not shooting anything. I can tell you that right now. So they even go there.
Dean can do it.
Okay. Yeah. We will not investigate whether Corps employees can.
Pacific States might be able to do that on there.
Might have.
Okay. The Army's afraid to shoot.
We can take care of that for you guys if you want us to, as civilians.
That's a good one.
That's a good one. Give them a good scare.
Push a button from your.
About a slingshot.
So, Dave, you're going to get us some legal tank permits?
Nope.
No, we're not doing anything at the Lower River sites, John. That has
I'll
not
just give them bad time.
Anything else?
Thank you for bringing it up.
I agree.
So, Bob, why don't you go out and
work for myself?
Sure.
Firecracker.
Yep. So this is a good opportunity for anybody who doesn't know the Dallas facilities, like you guys maybe, I don't know if you have time, to walk around and
shoot real bullets,
at least get yourself oriented to what we're looking at here.
We were just out here a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, you go look at?
What all you want to see?
We had a what they're talking about, building the bracket.
Yeah. Are you doing the walkthrough?
We need our hats probably going to work all the way through.
Yeah.
Bar or something?
Meeting is officially over. Thanks for those on the line.
Then they're done now.
Yeah. Everybody have a happy Thanksgiving.
That was awesome. Thank you, Bill.
Well,
okay.
We're going to come up here later on in the month to do that. With Sean Jackley, that was going to be next week.
Hey Gary, where are the Eagles? When are the Eagles show?
Yeah.
Nice to meet you.
When the salmon start coming back out of the they usually show up on the Kukatat when the salmon. Yeah, eagles, when the carcasses start coming out. It's there early for carcasses yet. So.
Stop. That was really white. It wasn't an osprey, but it was all white. It was a white face, red tail.
It wasn't all white, 100%?
I mean, it was, no.
You saw some dark? Okay. Yeah. I've seen a
beauty, or it looked like a hawk. It was something like a hawk. But I just saw it.
Could have been a red tail or a really late osprey.
No, it wasn't an osprey.
It's pretty, Swainson's be a little odd here. They could be. Keep an eye out.
I haven't looked at it yet.
It's too small. It's a red tail size.
Yeah, I've just been different places.
I know.
Oh, you didn't have a
thank you.
No.